Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
I gotta get gussied up. Ray Stevens is here. I haven't done my hair this morning. There you go. Is that better?
You got here just in the nick of time. What time does the show start?
Well, I do work from home.
Yeah?
I prepare for the show the night before,
okay,
the afternoon before, yeah, and then I coach, and then I come home, yeah, and then do it again, and then wake up and check again to make
sure. Is that your fixed hair right there?
I don't know.
That's hot.
Is it? Mike, do I look like Peter Frampton, yeah, again? Or
that's hot. The headphones mixed in,
yeah,
there.
Yeah. Something's going on.
Yeah, you look,
so how have you been?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing, you know, swinging from chandeliers, getting ready, you know, getting used to having, instead of four people at home, three, because my oldest went off to college.
Oh, right on.
He goes to Georgia Tech, so.
Cool.
I'm a rambling wreck mom. Well, he just doesn't call me back.
Yeah. Well, he's not going to.
What is up with boys not calling their moms back?
You know, it's amazing. I have three kids. And,
okay.
And my son, my middle child. He was the one that I thought would be the one that would always, you know, be attached to mom.
Yeah.
Once he went to college, he was gone. It was like vapor. He didn't come home for Easter. He didn't come home for Thanksgiving. He got arrested one Easter.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What did he do, steal Easter eggs?
I don't want to say what he did.
No,
yeah.
No. You can't say things like that and then not.
Well, he got in a little tussle.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, he got
well, where did
tussle.
He go to college?
He went to college, some of it at University of Wisconsin-Madison and some of it.
Oh, that's a great school.
And then he went up and played football at University of Wisconsin-Point.
Oh, okay.
So, now he's doing really well, though. He graduated. He's doing commercial real estate appraisals. He's a mixed martial artist fighter.
Oh, my goodness.
Alpha dude. Yeah, we're getting ready to go hunting this fall. We've got all our cams out in the woods. We're ready to go. We're providers.
That's great.
Yeah.
So where have you been filling in? What have you been doing?
Well, I was on the competition for the last 3 days, you know, with your old man, Panion.
Oh, yeah. You mean?
Johnny.
We can talk about him.
Yeah, yeah. No,
we can talk about former marriages. It's
I think he's getting a foot lopped off or something. So they had me.
No, seriously?
No.
Oh, well, he lost a toe because of me.
I know that.
You know that story. Yeah. We were in Costa Rica.
Oh, he tells me that story all the time.
I know. My kids, we were fighting. What do you call that? I don't want to offend a chicken when you have somebody on your shoulders. Yeah, chicken fights, right?
Yeah. He actually gets very jealous of me when I work with you. He loves you. He does.
I love him, too, though. I mean, I miss him, but, you know, but he kind of got a little soft, though. He got a little,
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to, I mean, I don't think he's progressive, but he's definitely.
He ain't one of us.
Exactly. 312-642-5600.
He ain't one of us, I'll tell you that.
Well, us is expanding. Did you hear what happened overnight?
Which one?
Texas sending buses of migrants to Chicago for the first time.
Yeah, how would you like to have waited your entire life to come to this country?
And you get sent to a war zone.
No, you end up in Chicago. It's like,
it's worse than Mexico.
Why don't you just send me to Afghanistan? What's the matter? Iraq wasn't available?
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. Our mayor, Mayor Lightfoot, was there to greet them.
But what we see here is who we are, Chicagoans. When we have people come to our city, no matter their country of origin, no matter their circumstances, we all rally together and we stand tall. That's what we have done. That's what we will do. But let me also say this. Shame on Governor Abbott. What he is doing is immoral, unpatriotic, and it defies the values of who we are as Americans. We can disagree on policy and politics, but you don't treat people this way. But we will, no matter, stand up. But shame on him. He brings a stain upon our nation. This absolutely cannot continue. We've got to rally together in this time, help these people that are in need. We shouldn't be in a situation where families are thrown on buses with babies, pregnant women, people who are in need of medical care on an uncertain journey across our country. But in Chicago, we are ready, we are prepared, and we will make sure that none of these folks are left in the lurch. But there's got to be a better way.
Mayor, David Palomino from Univision. Go ahead. Thank you, Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Where to even begin? First of all, according to Alderman Lopez, she and Governor Abbott agreed to have these 80 to 100 people. Buster, they got into Union Station last night. Did you see them getting off the bus?
I did.
They looked thrilled to be here.
Well, here, it's not like they just came across country on a covered wagon.
They came on a luxury bus with a bathroom furnished. They provided meals, 20 to 30 small children.
Let me ask you this.
And real quick, to go to New York or D.C. or Chicago or anywhere, which she doesn't know, they sign an agreement to go. They don't just put them on a bus like, all right, now you're going to Chicago. Like they did after Hurricane Katrina. They put people on planes. They're just like, you're going. And people would get off the plane without shoes and say, you know, where am I? Yeah. These people sign a paperwork to allow them to go to Chicago, New York, and D.C.
The only thing that would be better was Oprah Winfrey down there saying, you get a bus, and you get a bus, and you get to go to Chicago, and you get to go to New York. Here's my deal. Is why, if we're a welcoming city, if Chicago is a welcoming city, what's the difference if somebody comes to Texas or to Chicago? What's the difference? What's the harm in coming here? Now, I will say this, is the problem with it is, what about everybody that does it legally? And then you got all these line jumpers, and it's just not right. And I don't understand how we can let, you know, who's that, the tennis player they won't let in? I don't even know.
Oh, no, Djokovic.
Djokovic, or Dovic, whatever the hell his name is.
But that would be Novak Djokovic.
Yeah, there you go. That's no Djokovic.
Novak Djokovic.
So
thank
Novak,
you, Mike.
Novak Djokovic can't come here and play tennis because he's not vaccinated.
But these people.
Yeah.
These people, I sound like, they don't have to be vaccinated either.
You people, wonder.
But yet to be a police officer, well, they're going to drop that vaccine mandate, we hope, soon. But to be a police officer right now, you have to be vaccinated. To go to school in Washington, D.C. as a regular student, you have to be vaccinated.
Yeah, I wonder. You know, and I wonder about the mayor, man. What's up with, is she sick?
No, she gargled glass before that interview.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's she's got nodules on her throat like Dr. Fauci has had, but Dr. Fauci got his removed and she still has
Everybody,
hers.
You need to get vaxxed. Wait a second. They don't work 6 feet apart. Don't worry about it.
Hey, I like the way you talk.
Yeah. Don't you call me an elf.
312-642-5600. These people don't look like they're being held against their will.
No, they look
they're happy as heck. Like, hey, we landed.
Yeah, it looks like they just came out of the Nike outlet store.
They're royalty. All right, so Governor Abbott said as a statement from Abbott's office said that Chicago is being added as a drop-off location for future migrant buses in response to President Biden's open border policy. Do you know in the month of May, 237,000 people crossed the border? I used to live in El Paso as a reporter. Well, I was a reporter in Tucson, so that's how I familiarized myself with Border Patrol. When I lived in El Paso, we would have maybe 40, sometimes 20,000 a month, 237,000. I mean, there's not enough homeless shelter. They took over. They stole all the resources from our city by taking, space up in homeless shelters and things like that. And people are very giving in El Paso. But I can't even imagine what it's like. I would love to go there right now and see. They got to be busting at the seams. They have to put these people somewhere.
Chicago is amazing right now with the amount of tents that are everywhere.
Oh, my God. And we're going to become L.A.
It is absolutely amazing. And, I mean, we could talk about Chicago and its problems for days, but it is absolutely.
It is a four-hour show, Ray. Yeah. Pace yourself.
I won't let it all go right here. 4 hours. We're almost done with the first
hour. Hey, there we go. Yeah. Peter Ducey had to explain to KJP, who is the worst at her job, the communications director for the White House, who doesn't know how to communicate, about how people get here to America.
Well, there are two different things. They're two different things.
But so how is it two different things? Somebody unvaccinated comes over on a plane. You say that's not okay. Somebody walks into Texas or Arizona unvaccinated. They're allowed to stay. Why?
But that's not how it works. Like, we actually
know. I know that that's not what you guys want to happen, but that is what is happening.
But that's not, it's not like somebody walks over and
exactly what's happening.
How is she laughing at him?
Thousands of people are walking in a day. Some of them turn themselves over. Some of them are caught. Tens of thousands a week are not. That is what is happening.
I mean, clueless from the top of the chain to the bottom.
Yeah, she is absolutely amazing. It makes you. I mean, I never in my life thought I would long for Jean Paskey or whatever. Right. You know,
Jen Psaki, yeah.
Whatever her name is. You know, and it makes me. You know, they make so much fun out of Sean Spicer. He looks like a Rhodes Scholar compared to these people.
Oh God, Anthony Scaramucci. He's better than KJP. Ten days on the job. That's what it was. Pat in Lockport, you are on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Yeah. Good morning, guys. I don't know what is wrong with life. She's the most hypocritical witch would it be that I've ever heard in my entire life. You're talking about the fiber of the our. This is who we, not who we are. We take care of these people. We take care of those people, et cetera, et cetera. She can't run the damn city, for God's sake. It's turning into a tent city. Everything's boarded up. Crime is running rampant. And then you're welcoming everybody. And you know what? I don't think it's fair to make anybody, even illegal aliens, pawns. That's not right. That is not who we are. But for God's sake, when the hell is that dimwit and diaper is going to wake up and figure out what the hell is going on in this country? I grew up in Chicago, and I'm so saddened. I'm pushing 80, for God's sake. And what has happened to this city is absolutely incredible. It just makes me want to cry.
I know.
That's all I got to say.
All right. Thanks, Pat. Keep up the fight. Keep calling in. Michael on the South Side, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Hi.
Good morning, Amy. Good morning, Ray. Thank you for taking my call. Question. When is Man Life going to visit crime victims here?
I mean, look anywhere. I mean, everybody knows somebody who's been carjacked. I went from knowing nobody to knowing three people that who are carjacked.
I'm working with a...
it would be a full-time job, Michael, for her to do that.
I'm working with a kid that was shot 8 times outside of a funeral just to try to get him some money so he can get a mobility van. There's a 35% chance he'll walk again. 3 people were shot. He lost a kidney. He had to have colon surgery. And these are the people we forget about. You know, you hear about crime on Monday. We forget about it by Wednesday. So I revisited this kid, and there's a pastor that I work with. And man, I'm with you, Mike, because, you know, we forget about this, and we let it go, and it's off to the next day, and we forget about people. Man, we got so many problems in this city that we can't take care. We can't take care of our own residents, let alone taking care of 40,000 new ones. Drives me nuts.
Before you see it on TV, share it on Facebook, or read about it in the paper, hear it here first. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560.
Hey, business owners, is your business and money in good hands? Does your bank invest in your success? Hi, Mike Gallagher here, letting you know that when you need a relationship bank, Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. I love these guys. Not only do they have expansive industry experience, a strong financial track record, but they're also highly capitalized for strategic growth. That's so important. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. They know what it means to grow a business by designing solutions that are right for you and only you. These are real people. They're ready to help. So reach out to my friends at Signature Bank. Make the call today. 773-467-5630. 773-467-5630. Or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Your business could be Signature Bank's next success story. Go online, signaturebank.bank. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Signature Bank.
America First with Sebastian Gorka. Today at 3, right before Sean Thompson at 4 on AM 560. The Answer.
All right, good Thursday morning. Welcome back to Chicago's Morning Answer. Amy Jacobson here. Ray Stevens.
Good morning.
And for Dan Proft today. I'm so glad you're here.
You know, it's
good. You bring a lot of energy. I love it.
It's good to...
You're a Chicago guy. I love it.
I am a Chicago guy. There's no doubt about that. And I got a guy.
You got a guy. Oh, well, yesterday Rob Blagojevich filled in for you. You know, the former governor.
You know what? I have become a fan. I met him for the first time years ago. We were at the same concert with our daughters back when they were just little.
Oh.
We were at a box.
Was it the Wiggums?
No, it was
what was it?
It was Taylor Swift.
Oh,
nice. And he and I'm not a smoker. He's like, hey, you want to go outside and have a smoke? I'm like, absolutely.
Rob Blagojevich?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a runner. I didn't see him as a smoker. Well, now he doesn't drink or smoke or anything.
Oh, yeah.
But he's still angry because Governor Pritzker called Trump not once but twice saying, don't let him out. Do not commute his sentence. Mm. And Rod has given him work over the years.
Oh, yeah.
And Pritzker, I remember when he wanted to make an in-kind donation for the Senate seat because Pritzker wanted that. We have him on tape saying, well, why don't you appoint me to this or, you know, cause, you know, they're making deals. Well, friends no more.
Pritzker went the extra mile and called President Trump not once but twice. And President Trump told me this himself, to press him to keep me in. Now, he has young children and I have young children. And I've been in prison at that point just about seven and a half years.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to get over that when a guy like that, who you've been good to, does something like that to your family. And if I ever see that guy, I'm going to kick his ass.
Oh, I would. Could you, you know, here's.
Oh, Justin, thank you for pulling that, too, because that was, we were both like, what, did he just say he was going to kick his, whoa?
You can say that.
Kick his ass?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We, you know, the world needs more men.
Yeah, that is a man thing.
But we can't do that anymore because you're barbaric and you get canceled and you can't talk like that because we have to be nice and everybody has feelings.
I know.
But I tell you what, you know, I know Pritzker's probably got about 300 pounds on Hot Rod, but, you know, most fights last 30 seconds. Rod will outlast him. I'm taking Blagojevich.
Yeah. He just ran 9 miles before he came in for the show. Yeah. You know, he's in shape.
Right on.
And Pritzker, man, every time I hear more stories about him, I get angrier and angrier.
I ever tell you about the time I ended up on his family working farm?
Yeah. Well, when they had to till the soil and feed the animals. Well, the one in Burlington, right? Wisconsin, or is it Lake Geneva? Where is this farm?
You know, I don't want to. It's just over the state line at Hunt Club Road.
All right.
One of my very good friends' fathers owned the property that the Pritzkers bought. It was their family farm. So I'm up there one day. I'm splitting wood for my friend's dad. I'm wearing Carhartts. I look like I just walk. I look like Paul Bunyan.
You look like a real man.
No doubt. You know, I'm a former sheet metal worker. I mean, I can get out and work. I'm not afraid of work. So we're cutting up wood, and it's about this time of year, and I'm sweating like a dog. And my buddy's father, who's about 80 at the time, he goes, hey, would you like to see the family farm where I grew up? So he goes through a hole in the gate and takes me over to their.
Oh, because they own it now.
Well, yeah, but they're friendly. They were friendly until this incident.
Uh-oh.
And so
what'd you do?
They take me over, and I'm in a John Deere Gator. My friend's elderly father's driving me around, showing me the land where he grew up. It's fantastic, beautiful property. Obviously, it's changed since they bought there. But I'm here to tell you that there's a chicken coop on that property that is as nice as any home in Naperville.
Really?
And I'm not making that up for political theater or satire. It's true. And the horses and the homes.
The stables.
Oh,
my
God.
Gorgeous.
It looks like something you would see out of an Anne Hathaway movie when she was the Princess of Genovia. it is just absolutely stunning. I mean, you know, I don't begrudge the family. I mean, they've got money. They've done well. That's what we're supposed to do in America. I just got a problem with a guy with soft hands telling me how hard he's working for me. It just drives me
nuts.
Because
he got caught first sending his family to Florida.
Yeah.
Because remember, he sent them away and then shut down the state.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then he got caught because then they came back and then they're like, well, what do? We can't stay here because we have no freedoms. Well, let's go to the farm because we have to work the farm. Then he got caught doing that. And that's when he came out with that bull jive statement that it's a working farm and we have animals to feed. Have you ever seen him out and the pigs are feeding the horses putting hay in the stables? Give me a break.
There was a lot of workers there. And the thing that bothered me the most was the foreign tractors. They weren't John Deere.
Oh, they were foreign?
Yeah, he had a plethora. Now, he did have some American-made equipment, but a lot of Kubota. And I understand that we live in a global economy, you know, and we have to support each other. But you can work on my farm. Better bring American.
Okay. All right, President Trump. Oh, this poor guy. So he responded yesterday to those leaked photos from the Mar-a-Lago raid. So, and the DOJ admitted that they took the classified documents, which I thought nobody was supposed to see, threw them on the floor, literally threw them on the floor, took a picture. But they admitted that they did that and then put it back in the box.
Yeah, so we're
to try and support their case.
So we're to suppose that, you know, it's you know, Mar-a-Lago and there's all these highly classified documents just strewn about the place.
Uh-huh. So they claim that President Trump's team concealed and moved classified documents in an effort to obstruct the investigation. So what the filing suggests about the legal trouble for President Trump is that the DOJ filed this court filing, and in that they released the pictures, they got the information out to the media. And that's how they did the leak, to let people know, oh, no, this is serious. You should take this seriously. And is anybody taking this seriously? 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro, answer line 64636. Donald Trump, on his Truth Social, had the best response. He said, terrible the way the FBI, during the raid of Mar-a-Lago, threw documents haphazardly all over the floor, perhaps pretending it was me that did it, and then started taking pictures of them for the public to see. Thought they wanted them kept secret. Mm. Luckily, I declassified.
You know, my whole deal with this, and you know, you can chime in as well, but, you know, I don't... Can you actually see, you know, Donnie and Melania in their sweats, moving their boxes with two men in a truck, taking declass... I mean, after everything you've been through, after everything that they've tried to pin on you, from the Russia hoax to the collusion to everything else, do you really think that this guy's going to be so blatantly, ridiculously laissez-faire to take declassified or take classified documents of major importance with him? I got to think that this guy's trying to make sure every I is dotted and every T is crossed.
I know. And the DOJ, so this is what I learned from the court filing. I read it, so you didn't have to. They said, all right, so just follow along. The DOJ says Team Trump provided accurate information. They turned over 38 classified materials on June 3rd. So they handed over classified materials, 38. Then the FBI developed evidence, I think it's a mole, that a dozen additional boxes remained. So on that August 8th raid, the day of the search, the FBI found, they claim, 100 unique documents with classified markings, including three documents that were discovered loose in a desk drawer in Trump's office.
What I don't understand is that they were there before. They were working in good faith. They were told to padlock the room in the house. So
right, they didn't. They had a surveillance camera focused on that room. And Andrew McCarthy, who came on, you know, former attorney general, he said for the New York, he said there's something on that video between the June 3rd visit and August that made them come forward, that made them do the, you know, apply for a search warrant.
So
and receive it.
When you're looking for classified documents that are going to put our country in peril, and do you just leave because the FBI has their little league ball games to go to with their kids that night? It just doesn't add up to me.
And the pictures too. Doesn't it look like something out of Kinko's? Like if you know, I was going to dress up as a spy for Halloween, I would go there and print out the documents that they had on the floor. It looks so strange.
It's theater. It's all to throw. You know, everything. I mean, and I hate to say this because I don't want to be the man on the grassy knoll or tinfoil hat wearing guy, but it seems to me that they're always one step ahead of the next story they're trying to cover up.
You know, what's her name? Blagojevich said it best. He said it's not FBI, it's FBI.
Yeah.
Which I thought he should put on a t-shirt. So today the court's going to decide if a special master is going to be appointed to review the documents. So then we'll know if, you know, I mean, I just think I'm worried that he's in legal trouble and he's... Because if the feds want something on you,
no, they'll get it.
They can, but the grand jury can indict a ham sandwich.
At what point do you do? If you're Donald Trump, at what point do you just say, "Hey, you know what? I'm done with this. Why keep going back for more?" I mean, I understand that presidents and politicians, we see a lot of people have large egos. I mean, you have to be in that position. But at what point do you just say, "Man, enough"? Let me get behind the people that I think will help the country and roll forward.
Well, they said that this, you know, we're going to know whether or not he'll be indicted after the midterms.
Mm-hmm.
They came out and said that yesterday. And then it was leaked that President Trump might not announce whether or not he's running in 2024 until after they decide if he's going to be charged. 312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. You can also text us at 64636, type in DA, then a quick comment. Laura Trump on with Fox News.
My father-in-law has said he has nothing to hide. He did nothing wrong. This is such a bad look, I think, for the Department of Justice now, because it goes to further the notion that they are targeting Donald Trump.
And the FBI, and the, you know, they're just an extension of the DNC. The DOJ is in bed with the Democratic National Committee because they kept the media away from the Hunter Biden laptop. And because of that, people think, oh, they interfered with our 2020 election. Think about Molly Hemingway wrote about that, and I can sort of wrap my head around that.
Well, you know, up until the other day, I thought Tim Tebow was a football player that, you know, was famous for genuflecting when he got into the end zone. Now, this Tim Tebow guy is the guy within the FBI that worked with Facebook to tamp down the Hunter Biden laptop story ahead of the 2020 election.
And is he the agent that recently retired?
Yeah, but,
or
you know,
that's a different one?
But no, that's the guy.
That's the guy.
He recently retired because it was time. It was time, you know, he'd put in his years. Here's the badge. But now they're all saying, no, he went over. And Zuckerberg was on the Joe Rogan podcast talking about this, how, you know, they did have to find out if it was true or not. But Facebook, he's like, well, we didn't hide this story. But basically what they said is it got shuffled down.
Yeah.
Because the algorithms and Facebook know when they want to silence you. It happens to us all the time.
Oh, yeah. We get pulled. Every social media. I think we're... Are we still in YouTube jail? Because we had somebody complain about a show we did. Justin, are we still in jail?
Yes, we're still in YouTube jail until after Labor Day. And then we're back on the main YouTube. Right now, we're on the AM560 YouTube.
Okay.
All right.
So people can
I've listened to this show before, and I'll tell you, it should be suspended from time to time.
Stop it. Mary Kay in Western Springs, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Oh, my gosh, you guys sound so happy. I loved starting the day. You know, Dan's wonderful. But listen, yeah, I know, Lainey, you're chuckling because I'm smiling. I'm like, hey, these people are great. Ray Stevens, I haven't heard you before, but I will look for you now. I don't know. It's nice to hear your voice. You sound wonderful. But my comment is, one question at the end, Amy, when people show you their true selves, you have to believe them. And the problem, in my opinion, is that if on the news you could hear Blagojevich say, yeah, this guy, Pritzker, you know, I gave him business. I did this and that. He left me in for 7.5 years and wouldn't commute my sentence. Like, nobody's going to hear about that. Right, you guys?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, so if they knew, you know, what Pritzker was really like, maybe it would flip the switch and people wouldn't vote for the guy. He's an awful person. You know, he just is. And I think lots of people would go the other way and vote for Bailey if they could just, you know, Bailey could just get going and get the message out there and get the ads going.
I know. I feel like he's dragging his feet. Thanks, Mary Kay. Don't you feel? And he's been doing damage control than campaigning.
I talked to Bailey yesterday what Darren Bailey has to do. I mean, I get it. I get calling Chicago a hellhole, but it's never going to work out well for you. And whenever you compare the Holocaust to abortions, it's never going to work out.
But he did that 5 years ago on Facebook.
Yeah, but you know what? They're going to bring all this against you.
They are. But he should have been a better vetted candidate.
But here's what I don't understand is if you look at the polling right now, polls across Illinois show Pritzker at 18 points above Bailey. I like Darren Bailey. I think he's a good businessman. He's a solid guy. I think he's the kind of guy you could work next to and trust if you're a regular Joe. But the problem with Illinois is we live in some kind of weird Pollyanna, you know, disbelief state where we think things are going to change when we elect the same people over and over again. How in the world does Governor J.B. Pritzker have over 55% approval rating in the state? I'd like to know who they're polling. And I want to tell you that
polling women.
Well, after the 2016 polling that showed that Hillary Clinton was going to win the election in a landslide, I don't trust polls that much anymore. But where have people been living in this state? You know, just to put it, I was in East Tennessee last week. I paid $3.02 for a gallon of gas. Down on the corner over here, just adjacent to the WIND studios, it's $4.79. That is ridiculous. Your life is not better in this state, and that makes me sad because I'm from here.
Oh. All right, 312-642-5600. Let's get some more phone calls in. Chuck and Delavan, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, he was up here last week. His farm's in Williams Bay. Anyway, he was up here last week, and he was over in front of Gordy's and Chuck's laying on the beach. People got together and they were trying to shove him back into Lake Geneva. They thought he was a beached whale. Have a good day.
He
has a place in Williams Bay. His farm is not there.
Okay. How many homes does this guy have?
He has a lot.
So he's got to have two then in Wisconsin.
Well, he has one up on Lake Geneva.
One in Bahamas, one in... He has one in Lake Geneva, too.
Oh, yeah. He's got a couple in Florida.
I'm running out of fingers.
Yeah. Oh, no, I mean...
the Bahamas, I know the Bahamas,
I want to know
where he hides his money.
really, if we are a welcoming city, if we are a welcoming state, why not take these folks that are being bussed up here and let them stay at the Marriott?
We're going to get to that because one alderman is actually housing homeless people in hotels and motels, and nobody knows about it. We're going to break that story here coming up on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Before you see it on TV, share it on Facebook, or read about it in the paper, hear it here first. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Business owners, now's the time for your business to make the move to a locally owned business bank. Hi, Mike Gallagher here to let you know that you don't have to look far. Signature Bank was founded in Chicago with a simple mission to help companies like yours grow, succeed, and thrive. Their decisions are made locally by a terrific team that knows your name, cares about your business, and invests in your success. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. I'm a customer. As business owners, they knew that local family-owned businesses were not getting the help they needed or deserved. So, I invite you to reach out to my friends at Signature Bank today. Write the number down. Remember this phone number, Signature Bank, 773-467-5630. And learn all about this great bank, 773-467-5630. Or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
All right. Good Thursday morning. We're rocking and rolling here at AM 560, The Answer. Amy Jacobson here, and in for Dan Proft is Ray Stevens. You can shut the door.
How you doing?
How are you doing, sir? A lot of energy. I love it. You're eating. What are you eating? All natural, no preservatives.
All natural. Wheat. Some stuff that the girlfriend makes me eat. So I try to stay in good shape because she's so hot, and I'm just an old man.
Okay. All right. Well, we were talking about this before. You know, during the break, about this drag queen bingo coming to Downers Grove Library. The event is for 7th to 12th graders, so middle school. Already sold out. They're going to play bingo, then the drag queen performs, and they all dance to Katy Perry's Rainbow song.
Let me just ask you this. Riddle me this. Yes. I mean, really, drag or not, who the hell plays bingo if you're under 90?
Well, that's 312-642-5600, turnkey.proanswerline, 646-36, type in DA, then a quick comment. The library says it's a classic game. Reinvented to teach kids about diversity and acceptance.
Yeah, because kids don't get taught about that enough these days.
The other parents are obviously, they're upset. They don't think it's age appropriate. Yeah. Some even claiming that it's demonic. Here's the librarian.
The library does not plan to cancel drag queen bingo. To do so would be negligent of our duty to provide equitable representation of our beautifully diverse community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, another question. I'm sorry to keep asking.
No,
and I don't know what the phone line is you're doing, but you ask me this. When you yell bingo, you can't yell. You're in a library.
312-642-5600, turnkey.proanswerline.
Nothing about this makes any sense.
Well, they say that, again, that it's going to, you know, increase diversity and acceptance, but we already have, this is the thing. The person that's doing the bingo, her name is Aurora Divine.
Yeah.
I do believe. And so she's done this before, obviously. Yeah. She gets paid $125. Tax dollars are not going to pay for this. Somebody stepped up and paid the $125. When somebody gets bingo, she gets out a paddle, has them bend over and says, do you like it soft or do you like it hard?
Yeah, because that's what I want my kids to
7th grader. Yeah. To learn. Some parents are all in.
I think it is a wonderful opportunity for our young folks to be able to feel like they are represented in the community.
That's the mom in the neighborhood that was having the 50 Shades of Grey party.
Oh, that's right. Well, yeah. So this event is taking place Tuesday, October 11th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And it just brings up the bigger issue of why are we doing this? Why are we having drag queens read to kindergartners? Why are we having drag queens going to picnics in Provo, Utah? This is Utah. Yeah. This is BYU, Provo, Utah. all ages, family-friendly back-to-school drag show happening this Saturday. Performers include Anal Leakage and Genitalia. That's their name. Are you ready for this? Former and current BYU students. These are Mormons. Hello? I mean, I shouldn't think that they're, I mean, but it's BYU. Most of the kids that go there are Mormon.
Hopefully Mitt Romney goes there and they can paddle his.
Look at this. What is happening to America? Here's the thing. I've been to drag shows. I've been to the Kit Kat at Halstead and Waveland, I think. But that's for adults.
Right.
That is not for children at all.
Yeah, I don't want my parents saying that it's cool for me to go to a strip joint or a drag show. I want to do it on my own, and I don't want anybody to know about it. Then if I get caught, I want somebody to hold it against me on social media.
Well, this one sane drag queen said, we need kid spaces and adult spaces, and please. And this is a drag queen. She's all dressed up. You know, this is what she does for a living. And she doesn't want to be grooming young children.
I don't want to look at your child. I don't want to hear your child scream. I don't want to hear them cry. And I definitely don't want to see them give a drag queen a dollar bill. That's for us, okay? There are adult spaces and there are kid spaces. Can you please respect our space, please?
I'm just trying to figure out what my drag queen name would be.
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah.
I'm going to work on that.
Yeah, work on that.
We have already had a reputation of being pedophiles and being perverts and deviants. We don't need you to bring your children around. So you keep your kids at home or take them to Disneyland or take them to Chuck E. Cheese. But if you need your child to be entertained by a big human in a costume or in makeup, take them to the circus or something. When they turn 18... then why don't you take them to the clubs on their 18th birthday? Because it's an adult thing, okay? So don't ruin your child's life, and don't ruin us, because that's what you're doing.
You know, I think that's a great point. And I think that if you were to pull that community, the LGBTQ XYZ community, I think you'd get that a lot because, you know, I mean, out of all, and we're very diverse. I mean, I know that there's a certain amount of people that are like, these people are bad. We all have friends that we know that I have a friend that the transgendered. Yeah. I mean, and this kind of they're for
but
the most
this
part
is different. No,
right.
This is different than I have gay friends that can't stand this stuff. They're like, this is perpetuating a stereotype that we're out of control and we're sexually deviant.
It's not this community. But, it's the white suburban woke mom. That's the problem.
And then there's some advice that she has.
So why don't you get your kids together? Why don't you read them a book?
Yep.
Why don't you dress up with them? Why don't you put them in theater? Why don't you do something else other than dress them up in little rainbow ribbons and unicorn shirts and then bring them over to gay spaces where me as a gay man who wants to sit there and have a decent, nice brunch and have bottomless mimosas.
Aurora, who's coming? That's the, do you like it soft or do you like it hard? When you get bingo. Now, we don't know if she's going to make the kids, when they get bingo, bend over and paddle them. I don't know. But that's part of her show. And we're going to talk to representatives from Awake Illinois at 7:35 because they're the ones who found out all this information before she took it down off her social media.
I like that.
I don't know.
I like that the Downers Grove Library is like, we found
Downers
somebody else
Grove.
To... Yeah, we found some. It's Downers Grove, the bingo that I'm the one.
I know.
But that's, I like that. We're not paying for it anymore. It doesn't matter. It's a library. It goes against.
It's a public library where you're bringing children.
Right.
And in other rooms, there are children.
Now, let me ask you this. Maybe I get together with my buddies and we go and we have our 2A meeting at the Downers Grove Public Library. How do you think that goes over?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that
good
probably
point.
Won't go over so well, will it?
312-642-5600, turnkey.pro answer line. Let's go to Dave in Wakanda. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning, people. I love your show. Thank you very much for taking my call. Last night I saw something very disturbing. I happened to take my child to Lurie Children's for some medical situations that he's going through. However, on the Tucker Carlson show last night was a segment that showed how they have a designated floor just for people with trans and people questioning and all that. That, you know, I can understand that, but it's being done without parental guidance. They are giving hysterectomies unbeknownst to the parents, sex change hormones to the males. It's going out of control.
Well, you know, it's been there for a while, that wing at Lori's Children's Hospital. It's a business. I mean, doctors get paid to give, you know, double mastectomies. It's a business, and it's happening. Yeah. And that's why a lot of people think there should be an age limit. You should not touch anybody until they're 18 years old. Because if you take that away, you're not getting that. If you get a hysterectomy, sorry, your shop's closed.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave, for the phone.
One more thing. There's a reason why you cannot vote until you're 18. There's a reason why you can't drink alcohol till you're 21. There's a reason you can't join the military until you're 18. Because you're not responsible enough to make sound decisions.
Yep. All right. Thanks, Dave.
Why do we let children make decisions for themselves before they're 18?
I know. It's, you know, the parents stop being parents. You just give the kids what they want?
Well,
no.
You know, that's the other thing, too, man. Watch your kids. You know, but then again, people aren't like us. You know, people are like, no, honey, if you feel like a butterfly, you're a butterfly.
I know. There's a kid at one school, I think in Pennsylvania somewhere, who identifies as a cat. Wanted kitty litter put in the boys' bathroom because they're a cat.
Yeah.
It's absolutely psychotic. We're catering to this nonsense. Ridiculous. Sue in St. Charles, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Good morning. First of all, I think that
Are you there, Sue? Hold on. Let me try that again. Sue, can you hear us now?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yep. Go on.
Okay. So my point is, in Downers Grove, like every other library, it's mainly very liberal people that are running it. We had the same problem in St. Charles. But I think they do things like this. They have programs like this to incite people's rage. So we have to be careful, because I think they're doing a lot of this on purpose to kind of poke the bear. Mm-hmm. But I do have to say that they can use the most flowery language possible. If you're going to represent diversity in your community, I think it's only fair that you have a conservative bingo where you have a bunch of American flags everywhere. And when you get bingo, you yell Trump or something. I'd like to see how they take that. That's what I have to say. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Sue. Are you working on your drag queen name there?
I don't know. I like Some Herb Breeze a little bit. I don't know.
Some Herb Breeze?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's good. Justin, what about you? What would your drag queen name be? Oh, Peter in Downers Grove has his drag queen name.
Let me hear
all right, Peter,
Peter's
what
got.
Do you got?
Hi. So, my drag queen name is Connie Lingus.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. So, Peter, are you going to go October 11th to Drag Queen Bingo?
I just might. You know, I just got a brand new puppy, and I'm looking for a groomer, you know, so.
Okay.
We're
all
10
right,
o'clock.
Thanks.
Yeah, but, you know, to go back to what Sue said out in St. Charles, I agree with that to a point. It's like, you know, everybody. You know, why do people do things? To get a reaction. Mm-hmm. It's like, why do we post on social media? To get likes, to get people to retweet, to get a reaction. And I agree with that to a certain point. It's like, you know, but you also have to hold on to what you believe in, too. And I think that's a problem. People are so, you know, fed up with cancel culture. And we're so quick now that if we have an opinion, somebody's quick to call your boss, call your employer, shut you down, ruin your life because you don't think like they do.
Right.
You know, really. I don't have a problem with it. Parents want to send their kids to you know, drag bingo. Do that. I got a problem with it being at a library. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I have a problem with it being kids.
Yeah.
Just because she's bending people over and saying, do you like it soft or hard?
Well, you know.
I can't imagine her doing that. But then again, that's part of her routine. Maybe she'll take that part out. But the fact that they're even having it in the first place.
You know, there's an old saying called, let them be little. And we, you know, since beginning of time, we've always tried to be, you know. You know, you spend half your life trying to move on, and you spend the rest of your life trying to go back to where you came from and look for that innocence. And I think that with the availability that kids have with their devices and the things they see, they know what's going on. I mean, but this just brings it to reality, and that's odd.
Lee and Hammond, you're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, hi, guys. You know, the problem isn't that it's somebody that's transsexual, whatever, interacting with little kids. The problem is that it's adults flaunting their sexuality with little kids. Doesn't matter if it's heterosexual, homosexual, whatever. The idea is that you don't push that on little kids. They're innocent. They have a chance. They should have some innocence in their lives before they actually start to grow up and actually grow into these things. It shouldn't be forced on them, and it shouldn't be in these kind of venues where they're just taking kids and put them in these situations when they don't even know if they really are interested in any of this. The whole thing is just perverted.
Okay, and the drag queen who is, you know, gays against groomers pretty much addressed that.
I have no idea why you want drag queens to read books to your children.
I think I played that
out there before. Who bring your kids to gay pride and to drag shows and things of that nature. Can you please leave your children at home? Can you please? Because you guys are making us look really bad.
312-642-5600. Let's go to Laura in Rolling Meadows. You're on Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hey, I am now Laura from Chester City.
Okay, and you're on a landline. We can barely hear you. Can you hear us now? Okay, what's your comment, Laura? Okay, Laura, we lost you, and just call back when you can.
I can't hear her at all. Maybe it's just I'm an old addled man. I don't know.
Candace in Mount Pleasant, excuse me. How are you, Candace?
Good morning, Amy. Good morning. Okay.
Yes.
I think I've been listening to this stuff for years, you guys talking about this. You're pushing it the wrong way, the conservative radio. Okay, you got to go, Amy, to YouTube and look up mass resistance. This stuff has been around. Teachers have been warning you since 2017, and everybody laughed at it. And she was trying to tell you it's coming, and here is the curriculum. She laid it all out in Texas at a huge meeting to warn other teachers and to warn politicians, but nobody believed it. And here we are today. Why aren't you talking to endocrinologists? That is what you need to be doing, because you are not educating suburban housewives on what this actually is. Steve Deese tried to tell you the other day on The Blaze, and boy, did he lay it out. And I love Steve Deese because he doesn't do this hypocrisy thing. I hate this hypocrisy thing. It's old. It's over. Stop doing it on conservative radio. Start actually educating on what it actually is, because it is gruesome. And you know what? The same people who are involved in the abortion thing are the same people who are heavily involved in this. And that endocrinologist on mass resistance, he lays it all out, where it came from, which president brought it in, Obama, and what they're doing and who they are. And then it talks about the surgery and what it does to the child. And you are not doing it right. You have to educate yourself and then bring that to the radio and educate these suburban voters and these people so they actually know what it is. It's horrific. You don't even know that.
I'm familiar, Candace, with what they did. I hung with a warrant too often. I'm talking, Candace. I was with a warrant. Okay, Candace, thank you very much. I went with a warrant to officer in El Paso at Fort Bliss, and he would change from Terry to Terry. Mm-hmm. He became a woman, and what he went through, and he showed me, and then physically, it is barbaric. It is gruesome, takes months. Like, you have, because to create a vagina, it is the most disgusting process I've ever seen, and to mutilate your body like that. But and he ended up committing suicide.
Well, really, does somebody need to? What do we have to? You get on the radio every morning, and you have to describe this. I mean, just the very thought of it is gruesome, and it makes you wonder if somebody is that intent on thinking they're not in the body they're supposed to be in. Well, I mean, to go to those lengths is amazing.
And we all know transgenders.
Yeah.
This woman at church, who I've been going to that church for 12 years, I had no idea she was trans. She told me two Sundays ago. I said, "Are you kidding?" I had no idea. She said, I was one of the OG, the originals. Yeah. She transitioned in the 70s, she became a woman, but she actually got the surgery done in 1983. And I had no idea. And I'm not going to treat her any differently because she's cool. She and I feel the same way about COVID policies, about, you know, I talk to her all the time. I'm not going to treat her any differently, but I had that. that doctor did a good job, but she said she's always been a woman. That is a, she looks like a woman. Yeah, she acts like a woman.
My buddy that transgendered wasn't a good looking man. I don't know what made him think he was going to be a good looking woman. And it
looks
I'm like, dude, man, you look like you're wearing my grandma's clothes. You gotta, let me take you somewhere. Let me take you to, you know, to 16 plus or something and get you something that fits you right.
Okay. Let's go back to, or go back to the phone line. Sean in Northwest Side. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, first of all, I just want to be out there on the record saying that I would never go, nor would I ever take my kids. But if I ever wanted to, my name would be Tucky the Doll.
Tucky the Doll.
That would be my drag for me.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Thanks, Sean, for the phone call.
Connect with Dan and Amy on the AM 560 The Answer mobile app. Just text the word app to 64636 to download the app today. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
Bum, 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 bum. All right, good morning. Welcome back to Chicago's Morning Answer. Amy Jacobson here. Ray Stevens in for Dan Proft, and I have missed you. I haven't seen you in a long time. You're as fetching as ever.
What is... Does Dan just, is any, why does everybody say this show sounds fun and peppy? What's up with that? Is it me? Am I too happy?
It's you.
Okay.
It's not me.
I can tone it down miserable.
No, please.
All right.
No, we love the energy level. All right. All right, so next weekend's upon us. Practically, we're less than 48 hours away. And the new plan now is a caravan task force that they came out and told us what that's about 2 days ago to let us know that this is going to stop drifting, and this is going to stop drag racing.
City assets such as salt trucks, mobile pod trucks and trailers, tow trucks, and additional technologies are being utilized. We have created a caravan task force whose primary purpose is to enforce our existing ordinances for drifting and drag racing. They also impound vehicles. They identify offending vehicles that were not immediately apprehended for future impound. The city's new ordinance allows CPD members to impound vehicles that were positively identified by pod, private camera, or by an officer's observations after the date of time of occurrence.
So basically they arrested 9 people, 7 cars were impounded, but they still have 22 more cars that they've identified that they want to get in. But the problem is when police are responding to this, it's not only 200 people. Mr. McDermott there told me that there's 200 cars, spectators, waiting to either drift or to cheer on the drifting. They don't have enough police officers. The police officers that did respond were thrown at, you know, rocks, bricks. 6 police squad cars were severely damaged. One person even threw a tree at them. And it's like an ambush. It's scary. I'm sure you've seen the video on social media of that one cop car that got surrounded.
I just like how they talk about technology. We're going to use technology, tow trucks, and salt trucks. Yeah, because that's high tech. That's high tech. You know, and wait until somebody takes one of their little, you know, they've got these little Subarus, what I call the potato pipe shooter, you know, and they're loud. And they're bop, 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 bop.
Oh, it's so loud.
Wait till one of those drifts into a salt truck and wait till you see the lawsuits that will come to Chicago for that. Why not just throw out spike strips?
Right, drop dots that they do. They do that. It's similar to strip sticks in Los Angeles. They throw them down. And that's, you know, they're trying. But this salt truck thing, when they see the salt truck in that intersection, guess what? They're just going to go to the next intersection.
You know, and
then the next intersection. They almost hit every district.
And it's coordinated.
Weekend.
It's coordinated. It's all on social media.
Yep.
And I live in the western suburbs, and it's really no different if you're on Kirk Road. We call it Killer Kirk. It's out of control. And you can call, and I understand that police agencies are short-staffed, but you can call. You very seldom see anything get done. And then on the other hand, there's still juvenile Ray that still thinks these guys are pretty talented drivers, and I kind of want to throw my car into a swerve.
No, I
You live in the city. I know it drives you crazy.
I don't want to hear about that. And then that woman got killed by 2 guys that were drag racing Corvettes on 64th and Cicero Avenue. She was walking across the street, and she got killed. And she's a very accomplished woman, went to Duke for business, undergrad at Boston University, was visiting here from Naples. It was the day before her birthday, just walking across the street. And her boyfriend, who she was with, because a Corvette eventually slammed into, I think, a tree or a house. I can't remember. And he grabbed him and pulled him out of the car and was, you know, it was like vigilante justice.
Sure.
and took him to task. So.
How about the that hit and run in Chicago a couple weeks ago where the cars were just flying down the road? Those kids must have flown 200 yards in the air. It was amazing. And, I mean, really, the city's up for grabs on any given weekend. And anybody that tells you it's not just hasn't been there.
Yeah, they don't know.
And the sad thing is, and I say this all the time, is that there's 2% of the population that are causing these problems. Because by and large in these communities, even in the hardest hit, I do a lot of work in Englewood with Ray Lopez and a pastor named Pastor Donovan Price. Because okay. I think it's up to a lot of us in the media to try to get involved to see what really goes on there. And for the most part, you know, people that sit out here in their fancy little suburban neighborhoods don't understand that for the most part, most of these people just want to survive and live their life.
They just want to go to good schools, and they want police protection.
And you know.
And they want to be left alone.
But because we're woke, we can't chase, we can't arrest. And thanks to Kim Fox with two X's, we can't prosecute. And then we're going to wonder on Monday morning what the problem is. We're a bunch of idiots.
With more on that and how the mayoral challenger, Paul Vallis, plans to ease police staffing shortages, let's welcome back to the program Paul Vallis. Good morning, Mr. Vallis. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. So how do you plan on staffing or, you know, easing the police staffing shortage here in Chicago? Because that is a big problem.
Well, let me give you a couple numbers. And you know how I love numbers.
Uh-oh. Yes.
The Chicago Police Department is now down over 2,000 officers since Lightfoot took office. In fact, there's barely 1,000 detectives. So not only are they short officers, but they have so few detectives investigating cases that they're only clearing less than a third of the murder cases. And incidentally, clearing doesn't mean arresting. I think they only make arrests in about half those 31% of the murder cases that they clear. And they're only clearing or closing 5% of the shooting cases. So it seems that, you know, unless you get murdered in the city of Chicago, chances are they're not going to ever arrest anybody. And so not only are they down 2,000 officers, but the street patrols are down 24%. That means there are many beats throughout the city that do not have a local police car patrolling the beat. So clearly there's a staffing shortage. That is, and it's due to a number of reasons. I think it's primarily due to the fact that you just have absolute incompetent leadership. Superintendent Brown and his leadership team, their strategy has been an abysmal failure. They, early on in their strategy, they literally gutted community policing by pulling almost 1,000 police from the local beats and making them part of these, like, citywide shock and awe units. And as the police have exited the department, I think just in the last 18 months, has lost over 1,500 officers, and only about a fourth have been replaced. As they've been exiting the departments, what Brown's solution has been simply to overwork the remaining police.
Right.
So you have police is working weeks on end with no days off, going suddenly being told that their 8-hour shifts are now 12-hour shifts. So there's simply a massive exodus. So if you're going to restore confidence in the police department, if you're going to slow the exit of officers and make the police department attractive to new officers, you have to literally fire Brown and his entire leadership team, and you've got to promote a leadership team and put that team in place that has the confidence of the rank and file. It has to begin there. Now, there are a number of other things that you can do to begin to fill the ranks, but until you have a leadership team, you're going to continue to see a massive exodus of officers. And as you know, Amy, I was involved in helping the police negotiate an 8-year contract with the city. They hadn't had a contract in 4 years. And we were able to negotiate an 8-year contract. So I've kind of been immersed into the police politics for the better part of a year and a half. And there's absolutely – this administration is absolutely incompetent. They do not know what they're doing. You cited some examples in terms of their so-called task force to battle this road rage that is going on with these
we'll see how it works this today. But what Superintendent Brown came out with this jumbled statement about days off and you have to have 9 hours off in between shifts. Can you explain this, what this new policy is?
Yeah, you know, it's you know, it was fogged up even my mind.
the bottom line is what he did was they've been canceling days off left and right, and suddenly these officers find themselves working weeks on end. And not only is it very punishing to the officers, but it's also extremely punishing on their families, and that causes a tremendous amount of stress. You know, so what he did was he kind of modified his cancellation policies. The bottom line to all this is that the police are going to continue to have their days off canceled, maybe less frequently. They're also going to continue to suddenly find themselves on a moment's notice, their shifts, their daily shifts going from 8 hours to 12 hours. And this is just going to make things more difficult for the police department to not only recruit new officers, but to keep existing officers. There's about 2,000 officers that are eligible to retire right now. In fact, had the mayor not finally signed off on the new contract, you'd even have fewer officers there. And so it begins with, you've got a clean house. You've got a clean house. The first thing I would do, the first week I would do, when I become mayor, will be to fire Brown and his leadership team to promote officers from within who are knowledgeable, who have the confidence of the rank and file. That would be a positive first step. And then put these officers on a rational, predictable, consistent work schedule. And I think that would then begin to set the tone to take a number of other actions that could fill the ranks. And I'll be more happy to talk about what some of those other things are if you want. But I'll pause to breathe.
Paul Vallis is with us on AM 560 The Answer. Paul, I know you're a numbers guy, and now to go outside the police issue for a second, you know, you're intimately involved, or you know about the Chicago public school system. The numbers there, 15,000 less kids this year. Bus drivers are non-existent. We can't find teachers. We look at the city and what it's become since the Summer of Love, and Michigan Avenue is basically turning into a beautiful avenue where we're going to have crazy Kaplan fireworks stores pretty soon. How long do you think it can be before we can take this city and turn it around and make it what it was just four short years ago?
I don't think it would take that long at all. There clearly is a pathway for the city to get out of its to address its current problems, because so much of what is wrong has actually been a product of just these executive decisions that have been made by the mayor's office and this absolutely incompetent leadership team at the FOP at CPD, that the Chicago Police Department that the mayor has appointed. Of course, on the school side, she's really she's appointed a leadership team and the board that's allowed themselves to be totally bullied by the teachers' union. Let me tell you what I would do with schools. Right away. Basically, I would embrace a policy that allows the money to follow the kids. So if parents want to send their kids to public schools, parochial schools, charter schools, they would have that right to do so. But a lot of people say, oh, my goodness, that's going to take money away from traditional public schools. First of all, you know, if money follows the kids, then if you have fewer kids, you get fewer money. You get less money. But right now, the district central office, despite the fact that they have a $9.4 billion budget and they're spending almost $30,000 a kid, only about 60% of their money is actually finding its way to the local public school for instruction. So much of that money is being diverted for a variety of reasons. So if you have a formula where the money really follows the kids and you really give those local schools financial autonomy, where the overwhelming vast majority of that money finds its way into the local classroom, all the schools are going to benefit. All the traditional public schools are going to benefit. So, you know, I think you have to take that approach, because clearly they're spending more and more money. The amount of money in the last 10 years per pupil that they're spending has doubled. As the population has shrunk for 18 consecutive years, they've lost enrollment. Since COVID, they're estimating that the enrollment decline is going to push this year. They don't have the numbers in this year. We'll have lost 40%. I mean, we would have lost 40,000 students, or about 12% of their enrollment. Yet their budget has increased by 22%. So clearly, we're not getting our money's worth, and we're spending an enormous amount of money on a school system that is essentially failing our children, failing the city.
Wow. And now it's signature time. So are you out there pumping the flesh, pounding the pavement, trying to get those signatures?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, we're off and running. I think we already got about 2,000 signatures just in the last, well, just since we kicked off. And so I'm pretty confident that we'll probably have twice the number of signatures. I mean, of course, signature time is not only about getting signatures, but it's about kind of building your network of supporters so you can get the vote out, too, because so much of this election is going to rest on voter. You've got to get your voters out if you're going to be successful.
All right, Paul Vallis, where can people find more information about your campaign?
Well, they can reach me on my Facebook page. It is Paul, at Paul Vallis. It's my general Facebook page.
Okay.
And and also on LinkedIn, also under Paul Vallis.
Got it.
So if they want to get more information, I invite them to go to that page. And I look forward to, I'm going to need support. This is going to be a crowded race, but there is a pathway for the city to get back on track, and it's not going to take long. In the first 100 days, just through executive action, there are so many things, so many bad decisions that have been made that can be reversed, and I think there's a real opportunity here to initiate the type of change that the city needs to get back on track.
I think you're the only one who could save our city, so you have my support. Thanks, Paul Vallis. We have to leave it there for today, and he joined us on our Turnkey Pro Answer Line.
It's like a hot, steaming cup of information to start your day. It's Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Good Thursday morning. Amy Jacobson here. Ray Stevens in for Dan Proft today. Thank you for coming in.
No, you're welcome. It's good to, you know what, the girlfriend likes it when I leave the house. She's like, fine, you got a little work this week. Get out of here. I'm identifying as employed today.
Well, people who are getting out of there were people that crossed over into our country illegally and were bused here late last night, in case you're just joining us, between 60 to 80 illegals from Texas. Took two different buses that were beautiful, you know, coach line buses with bathrooms inside. They were fed meals. They signed up to come to Chicago. They didn't, you know, we didn't just shove them on a bus. And Mayor Lightfoot was there to greet them.
But what we see here is who we are, Chicagoans. When we have people come to our city, no matter their country of origin, no matter their circumstances, we all rally together and we stand tall. That's what we have done. That's what we will do. But let me also say this. Shame on Governor Abbott. What he is doing is immoral, unpatriotic, and it defies the values of who we are as Americans. We can disagree on policy and politics, but you don't treat people this way. But we will, no matter, stand up. But shame on him. He brings a stain upon our nation. This absolutely cannot continue. We've got to rally together in these times, help these people that are in need. We shouldn't be in a situation where families are thrown on buses with babies, pregnant women, people who are in need of medical care on an uncertain journey across our country. But in Chicago, we are ready, we are prepared, and we will make sure that none of these folks are left in the lurch. But there's got to be a better way.
Mayor,
Yeah, they're wearing Air Jordans. They look well-clothed.
They're happy. They're getting off the bus smiling.
Unfortunately.
And they signed up to come to Chicago. They wanted to come to Chicago.
Unfortunately, the first migrant that was sent here has already been mugged.
Oh, you stop.
It's crazy to me because she's like, this is not what you do to people. You're right. Don't send people to Chicago. Why would you want to come here?
We should. This is what we signed up for. Yeah. We are a sanctuary state. We are a sanctuary county. We are a sanctuary city.
Hey, guess what? When that happens and they show up, don't act like it's a surprise. A little bit easier to show up down in El Paso or Nogales when you're on the border.
They're busting at the seams. 237,000. You guys just imagine that. That's like thousands of football stadiums full of people in 1 month.
Well,
crossed over because of Biden's border patrol. There is no border security.
Look, man, I believe in people coming to this country and making a better life for themselves, but you got to do it the right way. And I know this sounds trite, but if we don't have laws and borders, guess what? We're no longer a country anymore. Did you see the stat? I'm going to ask you this because I know you're on top of this kind of stuff. 46% of Americans polled say that they believe there'll be a civil war within the next 10 years in this country. That's amazing. That's an astonishing number.
Well, I would believe that if Trump gets indicted, I think that there's going to be some, maybe not violence, but there's definitely going to be some rallies, so to speak, that might not end so peacefully.
Yeah, I think what happens is that people that are from here get castigated. You get ignored. I think people from the rural part of this state get ignored, and people are tired of being ignored.
So how can you change the way we're living? Vote on November 8th, that's for sure. And joining us in studio is Stephanie Tressel, Sister in Sound. You've worked here and filled in many times at AM 560. So welcome. So what is your closing argument for people to vote for the Bailey Tressel ticket?
Well, as Ray mentioned, this is a big state. I was born and raised in Chicago, spent most of my time north of 80. Since December, I've had the opportunity to tour the state, not just drive through it like we do. We get gas in Effingham and keep going. Mm. I've been to over 80 counties. And people that would come out to support Darren Bailey, they're whispering in my ear about the fentanyl in their neighborhoods or things. I didn't know there were communities that didn't have natural gas piped into their communities. I just didn't realize that. I'm learning so much about Illinois and the issues. Of course, being a Chicagoan for so many years, and now I'm a suburban housewife grandma, I didn't know what they were suffering downstate. And the fact that up here, when your last kid graduates, a lot of people put that graduation sign out, right? Right next to that for sale sign, and they, you know, they leave for Florida, Indiana. They go to a place where they can actually afford the taxes. But downstate, those people can't roll up their farms. They just can't leave. They have businesses that are invested in Illinois. And after traveling Illinois for so long, I'm like, why should they have to leave? This is an amazing state. It's with phenomenal resources. Unfortunately, it has turned into the museum of what it used to be. Even the neighborhood where I grew up, the other day, Tuesday, I held my first press conference, and I stood in the neighborhood where I used to cash my McDonald's paycheck, walk 4 blocks to Madison and Pulaski. Every store that was on State Street, with the exception of Marshall Fields, was right in my community. I never had to leave. And standing there with the garbage and the graffiti, and the crime. I mean, I'm 57 years old. I got to see my first actual live drug deal right there at Madison and Pulaski.
While you were having your press conference?
No, on my way to park for my press conference. And this is just what's going on in our city. And our message is that we have to do something to make Illinois home again. We've got to make it a place where people aren't just waiting to flee. Businesses are fleeing because this isn't a friendly environment. I mean, when an institution like Portillo's is saying, I'm not going to invest in Illinois anymore. I'm going to Arizona, Texas, Florida, because they want immigration and a booming economy. That says a lot about the people's confidence in this wonderful state.
Now, so how did you come to be his running mate? Before we go any further, I just love the backstory on this.
People wonder, how did a central farmer from Illinois even meet this fast-talking grandma from the west side of Chicago? I was prepared to run for state rep in the 42nd. That's what Jeannie Ives was. I was working with her team, and we got so excited. That's what I was going to do. And David Smith from Illinois Family Institute, when I had my radio show, he was part of my show. Once a month, I'd have him open up my show. So he and I have become friends, and the Baileys said to him, who should we interview for lieutenant governor? And without hesitation, he said Stephanie Tressel. He called me on a Monday. He and I had never talked about me running for office. He said, the Baileys will be in Chicago on Wednesday. I want you to meet them. They want to talk to you about being lieutenant governor. And he and I are friends. So I said something like, are you painting in a room without ventilation, David? Are you crazy? What makes you think? And my husband and I drove down, hour and 45 minutes, getting to know the Baileys. They got to know us. That was in June of last year. And there was no way in my mind I was going to be last man standing. But after spending that time with them, I knew they were the real thing. Authentic, just wholesome, great, hardworking people. I was just hoping to be a volunteer for them. And after about 6 months of vetting almost, I was the last man standing, and I got to join this amazing family and just be part of this phenomenal movement to restore Illinois.
You know, I know people that listen to radio stations like this and sit on our side of the aisle are realists. You know, we don't necessarily get our feelings hurt too often, but Darren did call Chicago a hellhole. Now, after you watch what happens in Chicago this weekend, if you watch what happened there last weekend, you call it what it is. I'm sorry to hurt somebody's
feelings.
You've
got to name it to fix it.
Right. It's not even on the weekends. It's weekday. Any day that ends in Y, somebody is getting murdered in Chicago.
Yeah. No, but he talks a little bit different than the rest of us. But, I mean, at the heart and the root and the soul of this guy, what I like about him is to be a farmer, and I think that, you know, if you live up here in this area and you've never been to rural America like you're just talking about, you got to be an economist, you got to be an agronomist, you've got to be a scientist, you've got to be a weather forecaster.
Problem solver.
And what I like most about this guy, and call me old fashioned, is that his Carhartt that he wears has been worn.
It's dirty.
It's been used.
Yeah, it's not.
He's got the hands of a guy that understands what regular families are going through. Yet, you know, you're going to need all the luck and support in the world because this town. It's just flat out crazy doing the same crap over and over again.
Yeah, it's so hard. We get such a tremendous response no matter where we go. And I know people's question is Darren's message resonating north of 80? We were in the Bud Billiken Parade, the largest black parade in the country, 93 times because of COVID. You can't say 93rd year. But we were there from 35th to King Drive all the way to 55th and King Drive. People, black people yelling out Darren Bailey, wanting to take a picture with him. They're suffering just like everyone else. And I know it's just people kind of feel this a fait accompli that J.B. Pritzker's got to win. And I'm like, why? What has he done to deserve 4 more years? And I think about the scariest horror sequel ever, and J.B. Pritzker Part 2 would be horrible for the state of Illinois. 114,000 people fled Illinois last year, and it's not because of anything other than his policies and feeling like, I can't afford to stay here. And so what Darren did in the primary, he simply outworked the competition. We had 6 Republicans in this race, which was phenomenal. He got 57% of the vote. Nobody expected this farmer from central Illinois to do what he did. And what he did was just went to places that nobody else would go to. And he'll go to Chicago. I remind people, he slept on the top of that container storage unit, whatever, with Pastor Corey, long before I came onto the team. I mean, it's no place that he won't go. Every Sunday, he and Cindy go to a different church. I've been trying to do the same thing. And that's what we're doing. We're listening to people. And I was on the radio for 7 years. And I was obsessed with the Black Talk radio station. And I got to know them. I hosted on that station by myself repeatedly. And I would bring people into the studio, Democrats. I love having them in studio. I put my piece of Trump chocolate by their microphone, close the door, let's do this. You would be surprised how many elected officials, leaders have been texting me and calling me saying, these are Democrats. We want to help Darren Bailey. Because they're suffering. They have high taxes, too. They're worried about their school. And Amy, you're passionate about what he did to our kids. We cannot let anyone forget. I have PTSD when I had to buy Reagan's gym uniform this year. I couldn't find it because I packed it away for the last 2 years. My kid's been in his basement doing exercise. That was unacceptable. It breaks my heart.
Watching gym class, and I came downstairs, and he was doing burpees. And then you see the other kids in the class, and some are just sitting there. One girl, I'll never forget, during his math class, she had all her siblings on her lap and was miserable. And then don't even forget the 6-year-old who was raped by her. She should have been in school. Her cousin raped her during a Google classroom. The teacher saw that. She yelled, screamed, and he should have been in school, too, because he was a senior, screamed, everybody turn off. And she and the principal got in their car because they were in school and ran over to that house to save that little girl. I mean, it was absolutely barbaric what we did to our kids. And that's, you can have all the money in the world, life experiences, graduation, prom, homecoming. We missed a whole sports season. Can't get that back.
You can't. I think about those kids that this was their one chance to be the first kid in their family to go to college. They were going to go on a football scholarship, a basketball scholarship, or a track scholarship. And that
all
was
gone.
Just all gone.
Because all those people redshirted again.
Right.
So there was that whole class. There were practically zero. Even you could walk on to positions, but because everybody stayed.
Right.
Because they met
with
their coaches.
That was hard for college.
I could redshirt. So all that whole senior class in 2021 was screwed.
That's what I hope to, where we're inspiring the millennials and the people and the Gen Xers that were really affected by this. And I don't know about you guys. I get up every morning and listen to you guys are like my new Don Wade and Roma. And listening to those stories of those parents that have lost kids, we don't talk about the overdoses and the suicides. And you guys were telling that story. And I'm just so happy to be in a position where we can make sure, we can assure everyone we'd never shut down our state like that again. We won't shut down your churches. This is ridiculous. We're this island right now. Every state that touches us, their economy is booming back. We're at anemic 0.5% growth, and it's all because of J.B. Pritzker's policies.
All because of the lockdowns. That's why people left. There were 923 kids at Blaine. Mm-hmm. That's our middle school.
Okay.
And now there's around 700. Everybody left the state because they wanted their kids to have freedoms that other states have, especially in bordering states.
And, yeah. and not to forget, not to keep beating the COVID drum, but...
Well, we can't let him forget because he wants to move on. Now it's all about
even
abortion
though he
rights.
Says that he's great with COVID, but we're still under the emergency order.
33rd in a row.
Right,
33rd in a row.
33 months, you guys.
And what does it do? It gives him too much power. We need to get away from that. And just so you remember what happened, because we have a 30-second memory in this country.
Illinois.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I spent a lot of time up in northern Wisconsin. I got out. I went, and I'm here to tell you that once you were up there, life was normal. You know, people got sick, but, you know, I've never had COVID.
You're one of the 27% of the world that will never get
COVID.
Type
O blood or something?
Yeah, I am.
See,
type O.
That's my sister's never had it either. Same thing, type O.
And hey, here's an idea, America. This will get me off on a regular different tangent, don't ride electric bicycles and don't get your food through a window, and maybe you'll survive this stuff.
Well, instead of handing out, you know, vaccine mandates, we should have had gym mandated memberships.
Get out in the sun instead of shutting down basketball courts.
And the 606 trail and the lakefront.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, when they shut that down, that press conference, I was just like, well, we could run by somebody and their sweat.
Their spit,
And I said, sweating's good.
Right.
If I don't sweat, I'm a basket case.
Right. Exactly, but it's so funny. In December, we announced, and I got on a bus and did a 12-stop tour. Once we got south of 80, those people weren't living under the same policies that we were. I could see the waitresses' faces. You go into Walmart, you might see three people with a mask on. This is even during the mask mandates. They were living in freedom in southern Illinois. I'm beginning to think when I moved from Chicago in 1994, I probably should have kept going because those people are living their best life. It's amazing to be able to go to a place that's just, it's almost like being in Florida because it was, you know, better weather. And those people were just down there just saying, hey, we got businesses we got to run. We don't have time for this.
Stephanie Trussell is here on AM 560, The Answer. And I'm trying to remember the guy that sued Pritzker. Who was it? Sued Pritzker Janice? About mask mandates.
Darren Bailey.
And that's what's so great about him. 2 years ago, I posted, before he even announced, I shared his one of his Facebook Lives, and I said, this is the next governor of Illinois. This was over 2 years ago. So that's just so crazy that he would have eventually announced and then that he would eventually pick me. And out of all the people in Illinois, it took two people south of 80, Tom DeVore and Darren Bailey, to stand up to J.B. Pritzker. Not one one fancy lawyer up and down Michigan Avenue, none of that. It took these two guys that had the backbone to say, this isn't right. We got to stand up and do something, especially for our kids, for our businesses, and for the great state of Illinois.
Okay, so what's a lot of people that I've talked to feel as if Darren Bailey just kind of fell off the face of the earth because there's not a lot of campaign ads. They want more. Are you having any rallies coming up? And are any of the former challengers going to be at those rallies to support and endorse you and Darren Bailey?
Well, you know, we had a great Unity Day during the Illinois State Fair. Okay. Sullivan, Rabin, and Irvin were there. It's great. They're all on board with us. We're very busy just in general, so we have a lot of things planned. And as soon as we got everything in place. We're going to be up and running because, you know, once you start the TV ads, you got to keep them. So we're just getting everything in place, and we're just basically depending on people to get up to help us and not only support us, but financially support us. But also, what's one thing that a lot of people are concerned about? Voter integrity. We have so many volunteers signed up to be poll watchers in Chicago. They are ready to come up from downstate to keep an eye on what's happening. That's how Virginia won. They had 98% of their precincts covered. And so that's what we're doing. We have the plan in place. We got this.
Get involved in your community, because I've been working with a group out in Kane County, and they are calling people to action to watch, and they are heavily involved, and I think we're going to be okay there. As crazy as that sounds.
It's like a Tea Party part two. I go to these patriot groups, and I'll say, how long has your group been in existence? Oh, 18 months. The 2020 election made people realize, oh, my goodness, what's at stake? We can't sit back and just be complacent.
And that's not a right or left issue. That's an American issue
exactly.
Right there.
And so, you know, we again, when I hear people saying, oh, what are you going to do? J.B. Pritzker is going to win. And I'm just thinking, wow, it's hard for me to turn off my radio host sometime because that's the kind of person I'd invite into the studio and let's debate this. But just to give a message, we have to be informed in the facts, and we can't be yelling about feelings. We know what the facts are about Illinois and what's wrong with Illinois. And J.B. Pritzker, he does not deserve another 4 years to finish ruining our great state. And besides, he's obviously made it very clear that he's over being governor. He wants to be president. I say, I'm not in the habit of helping Democrats with their future aspirations, but let's make sure he's fired on November 9th so he can have all the time in the world to run for president.
All right, Stephanie Trussell, Lieutenant gubernatorial candidate. Where can people get more information about your campaign?
Well, go to baileyforillinois.com. We're on all the social media. Follow our calendars. And I'm telling everybody, if you spend 5 minutes with Darren and Cindy, you'll be all in. You'll get it. He's authentic, and he's just the person we need to restore Illinois.
And if I wanted to get a really good hot dog, where would I go?
Well, you know, coincidentally, I decided to run for office. My husband opens up a business at the same time. This is crazy.
Okay.
But it shows us that, it shows everyone, we have no plans on leaving Illinois. Boss Dogs in Lyle, it was shut down. 30 years, it was a Subway. The policies that J.B. Prisker shut this business down, the busiest intersection in my wonderful town. In January, my husband opened up Boss Dogs. We've been named top five after only 12 weeks in business, top five best in the West. We cut our own fries, and because Subway left the ovens there, we get to bake our own buns. We're doing very well, working hard. My biggest challenge is not to eat more than two orders of fries a week.
Well,
you know, I go to a lot of Lincoln Day dinners.
French fries.
It's great. So,
and it's Boss Dogs at the intersection of
Maple and Route 53. Whenever I come in for John Anthony, he sends me a text. bring us some hot dogs. And it's too early for you guys. Maybe next time.
All right. Well, thanks. Stephanie Tressel, candidate for lieutenant governor. BaileyForIllinois.com is the website, and she joined us here in our Matrix Home Solutions studio.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Your show keeps me alive during the week. There's nobody I'd rather listen to between 5 and 9 in the morning than you guys.
On AM 560, The Answer. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
Love this song. Who sings this song? Because you can't, you won't, and you don't stop. Beastie Boys.
No, it's Jason Aldean. That's who it is.
That voice belongs to Ray Stevens. He's filling in today for Dan Proft, who will be back next week.
What's
taking
that?
Some time off. I think he's on a golf trip or something.
Oh, you know, I get a kick out of all these talk radio guys that golf.
Really? You don't golf at all?
No, I ride mountain bikes. I ride road bikes. I ride my Harley. I fish. I water ski. That's what I do.
Do you barefoot ski?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Do you have video of that?
I can show you the reel. Yeah, I got it all.
Your highlight reel?
Yeah, we're going up north. We're going up north this weekend, visit grandma, do some fishing in my son's boat. We call it the SS Connor's Money. He's out of school. He bought a fishing boat.
Connor.
Yeah. And
He's your middle kid.
He's going to be a tournament fisherman next year. Doesn't do anything. Everything's, you know, right to the wall. So we're fishing now. We'll be hunting in October. He hopes to eat all food that he's taken on his own all winter long.
That's his goal?
He's a provider.
Wow.
That's what he calls himself.
How old is he?
He's 22.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll show you a picture of this kid. You won't believe it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Does he have his father's good looks?
He's just shredded, man. I'm so jealous of this kid.
Well, you're pretty good for your age.
I'm like, buddy, I go, don't
You've
take
got
your,
muscles.
Don't take your shirt off in front of me. You make me feel older than I am.
So have you figured out your drag queen name yet?
It
was a work in progress.
Yeah, I got it.
From this thing, what would your drag name be?
Mine is Miss February Halata Fagina.
Okay. I don't like that one. Mine was Madam Peach's Vision, which is really bad.
I don't hate the player. Hate my birth date, I guess.
I know. Well, we joke around about it, but it is very disturbing to a lot of parents out there because Downers Grove, as you heard, we talked about this earlier in the show, is having a bingo drag queen show where they're allowing 7th to 12th graders, so middle schoolers, to go to the Downers Grove Public Library where they're going to play bingo and be loud, as you mentioned, because they're going to yell bingo.
This goes against everything a library stands for. Because you can't yell, so how are you going to tell? Bingo.
Bingo, yeah. No, they're going to be loud. And then they're all, apparently, according to ABC 7, when they're done playing bingo, they're all going to get together and dance to Katy Perry's Rainbow song, which I don't even know what that song is. But is this appropriate? Is this not? Is anybody doing anything to try and stop it?
It's not the video where she's shooting whipped cream out of her bra, is it?
I don't. Justin might know, but I don't know. Katy Perry. He didn't know who Joe Namath was. So.
they're young guys. Man.
Yes. All right. Dr. Deb DeVero. She's from Awake, Illinois. She has a PhD in psychology. She joins us now on our turnkey.pro answer line. Good morning, doctor. How are you?
Good morning, Amy and Ray. We are doing pretty good over here. I'd rather be golfing, though. much rather be golfing.
So how did you catch wind of this drag queen bingo?
Yeah, you know, I didn't even know. And I heard about it last Friday, of course, on Facebook, social media. And I had to take a double take and say, wait, what? Is this really happening? And I think what really pulled at my heartstrings was the age group, the inappropriateness of the location, of the age group, and working with teens and children and young adults for the last 30 years in many different forums. Their brains can't wrap their mind around who they are, let alone, you know, gender identity. And now we're putting a highly hypersexualized drag lifestyle in front of them. And first of all, I want to thank you for allowing us to have a voice here, because we've been heavily censored all week. The library's removed opposing comments. Facebook groups in Downers Grove have blocked our comments or taken them off. And as you've seen, even the mainstream media has kind of presented more of a liberal, progressive mindset around this.
Yeah, they act like this is okay with really little to no pushback. And you did some digging on the person. It's the dancer, or not the dancer, the bingo drag queen is Aurora Divine.
Divine, yeah. So when my girlfriends and I, a couple of us, you know, got wind of this, one of them was very proactive and grabbed a couple pictures off his Instagram page, which, you know, the kids are going to go flock right to as soon as they hear who's the drag queen. And it presented a picture on his story that said, you know, do you like it soft or do you like it hard with a bingo paddle? And I know that's more of an adult, you know, I was accused of twisting this and putting it out of context. But no, if you're going to, I don't think the library vetted who they were going to have performing and checked out their social media, because if you're going to have someone come in and represent something like this, you have to check out their background. And you just said something interesting is, you know, the media are saying this is like no big deal. Well, that's called desensitization. And so that's one of the initial stages in insidious grooming of children. And it's you desensitize them that's the first stage. You desensitize them. They're bringing it into a library where the kids feel safe. They're bringing it, you know, it's approved by a very small percentage, I will have you know, in the community, from my understanding. I think more of us are outraged and don't feel comfortable with this because it's subtle exploitation of children. And that's how it starts. And then they're desensitized. And then all these teens and preteens go to the Instagram page and start looking up drag queens and see all this hypersexualized and highly sexualized behaviors there. And then they're like this, and then it's just, you know, the other thing that I am just appalled by is I found out the library is stripping all parental consent for this event. So 11 and 12 year olds can go and sign up for it, and their parents don't need to know if they're attending. They don't have any say. And talk about, you know, they keep throwing the word inclusion around. That's what I'm hearing. I'm getting all these texts and comments about, well, this is under inclusion, this umbrella of inclusion. But really, it's like it's being used like a so flippantly, and it's losing its efficacy, and it's kind of morphing into this blanket of hypocrisy where, okay, if it's inclusion, then why are we stripping our parents of the ability to have a say over what their children see, do, and are exposed to? That's what parenting's all about, is guiding them. You know, if you're 21 or mid-20s and you want to explore certain things, more power to you. You do you. That's an adult mindset. Go ahead. These are our children that this is insidiously being introduced to. And now they're having a show after the bingo. And in the library, there's toddlers. There's kids reading Dr. Seuss and eating goldfish three rows over, and then you're going to have this lifestyle walk in to the library. I just think the timing and the age is inappropriate, and it's grooming children to become desensitized to certain sexual lifestyle. And the one last thing, I'm sorry I'm going on, I just want to get this. Then I have people saying, well, we want to be inclusive of the LGBTQ community. I have so many clients that are lesbian, gay, that identify with these non-traditional, you know, non-binary. I work with them. There's no problem with exploring all of this in the right venue, but this isn't what this is about. They're putting that under that inclusion umbrella, and they're saying drag is part of that. No, there are many, many LGBTQ people that aren't okay with this, and gays against grooming aren't okay with this. And even there's a drag queen community that's not okay with this. There's that video I sent you.
Yeah, gays against groomers.
Yes, gays against groomers. I think the library does wonderful things, honestly. I have loved being part of this community for so many years, but I think they failed to properly discern the impact this would have on the entire community, not just a few small group of mothers that want their kids to be included. I don't think 7th through 12th graders are looking to be dressing in drag yet. Maybe a couple, one or two. Most of them are going to show up for the Instagram moment.
Let me ask you, as a devil's advocate here, as somebody that,
go
that
right ahead.
Is okay, do you think that this is being made more than it is? Because I got in my heart thinking, maybe I'm just totally off base here, and you'd know better because you're the doctor. But I remember my ex-wife telling me one time, and I love her to death. You know, she's like, I just want to put a brick on our youngest head. I want to put a brick on her head and let her be little because she's growing up too fast. And I think that am I crazy? Where are the mothers? Where have we gotten in society where parents think that stuff like this is normal? Could this just be a case of the squeaky wheel and the minority, you know, just being loud?
No.
Okay.
Let me gather a second. You know, I think the last 3 years, no matter what side you're on politically, the media has really desensitized and taken away certain limits, boundaries, laws, and rules. It's almost like this is a humanity issue. This isn't a Democratic, Republican, red, blue, Trump, Biden issue. It is not. And we are not going to make it this. So what's happening is you're stripping parents of that ability to guide their kids, or you're making them feel guilty because everyone needs to be included. No. There are rules. There are laws. There are limits and boundaries, even a Ten Commandments I'm going to throw in there, that are put in place to guide humanity. Otherwise, we're creating a society where anything goes. And that is not okay. I just heard under the umbrella of inclusion, I heard on Newsmax, there is now a satanic club under the umbrella of inclusion of religious freedom that is being supported by the local high school. And, you know, there is limits. There are boundaries on what's okay in humanity. And so, honestly, I'm kind of glad this happened because what I saw, Amy and Ray, in the last 24 hours was pretty amazing. The silver lining, I'm always looking, you can ask my friends, I'm always looking for the silver lining in everything. This event has seemed to lightly bridge the gap in our community that has been divided for the last 3 years politically, because what it did was it tapped into a humanity issue, the hypersexualization of our children and teens. I think they just pushed the boundaries way too far in this let's include everybody and everything. Hey, if children or teens are really struggling with their identity, there are appropriate forms for that. and venues and therapists and psychologists. I happen to be one of them, but this is not that. And so, but it's brought all our friends. I've seen it bring both sides now, Democratic and Republican, together this weekend. It's erased that dichotomy of politics for just a moment, and it melded us together for the weekend. And I was like, there we are. We're back.
But, so, Deb, do you think that they're doing it? I mean, it's right near the midterm elections. They say it's some national coming out day.
Yes,
I don't know.
Yes.
What is Awake Illinois going to do? Are you going to be physically present? Because, you know, I think that the left wants that. They want to see you guys lose your minds and protest and scream at people who are different.
No, it's not about being different.
But I'm saying, what is Awake Illinois going to do? Are you going to be out there protesting that night?
We're hoping. I haven't spoken to the people that are kind of heading that up. But yes, that I think has been a strategy of the other side. Is I've heard that is they're trying to bait us into, you know, getting very obnoxious out there. My idea would be if we could organize this where it's silent, and at each door of the library, we just have a tunnel of silent people that are protesting. No one is saying anything. Everyone's being respectful, and they're holding up whatever appropriate signs they need to hold up, or no signs. And that the people who are entering into the library for this event will enter through the tunnel of people quietly. That would be my dream for it, to say we're standing together. You can go have your event, but we don't agree with this. And I think, honestly, more people in Downers Grove don't agree with this than do. I think it's, but see, here's the thing. The positions of power and influence on the library board, you know, with those positions comes great responsibility. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they've really thought this through and the impact it would have. So they're misusing their responsibility because they're only one-sided here.
Yeah, I think that library board is composed. I know I'm close here, but there's only one person that identifies as a Republican. The rest are all Democrats on the library board. So it's like 6-1, I believe.
But see, I almost called you Dad. Ray.
That's all right. It's your show.
Yeah, right. But this is the beautiful thing about it, is that silver lining. Is I heard just the other day, now the board is kind of split. It's not just Republican and Democrat. And that's what I want to put out there. This is a humanity issue. This is not a political issue.
It's about
humanity.
Kids, yeah. Let them be kids, for God's sake. Bottom
All right,
line.
Dr. Deb DeVero, we're going to have to leave it there for today. She is with Awake Illinois, and I'm sure we'll be having you back on the program. So thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you so much, both of you. You're doing wonderful work. Thank you.
Thanks. And she joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
You're listening to Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560. The Answer.
Good Thursday morning. Plenty of sunshine today, a high of 88 degrees. And I know Ray Stevens, who's in here today for Dan Proft, you're going to probably go out and seize the day and do something outside.
I have to go to IKEA.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, in Schaumburg and pick up some crap for the girlfriend. And then I'm going to go for... Yeah, I know. And then
because then you have to put it together.
Yeah, and it's not a big deal. And she really gets whatever she wants. She's the queen, but... tonight I'm going to see the Scorpions at the Allstate Arena.
Oh, my God.
Going to bang my head on the wall.
What are you going to wear? Are you going to take it back old school?
I don't know, man. I might wear like a crop top and some leather. I don't know. Yeah, these days, wear whatever you want, right?
Yeah, freedom of expression. Yeah. We used to live in a free country, right? Remember that?
You know what?
Remember those days, how America used to be like?
When you stop and think about it, it's like, you know, nobody ever talked about the crap we talk about today till this damn social media came around. Life was better, Amy. When you turned on the AM band and you listened to the person talking through those AM speakers, you know why? Because they were smarter than you, and you listened.
And yes, we don't have that anymore.
No, it's all gone.
So President Trump yesterday responded to the leaked photos of the Mar-a-Lago raid. It was just so strange because why did the DOJ release photos of top secret documents? If they're top secret, why would they show the world?
Got to get it on the gram. Got to prove it happened. Pictures or it didn't happen.
Well, with more on this, let's welcome back to the program our good friend Julie Kelly, senior contributor for American Greatness and author of January 6th, How Democrats Use the Capitol Protest to Launch a War on Terror Against the Political Right. Good morning, Julie. How are you?
Good morning, Amy and Ray. I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
The Scorpions.
So,
that sounds awesome.
Yeah. What's your favorite Scorpion song?
Oh, I mean, Love Drive.
Love Drive?
Love Drive! Yeah.
Yeah.
Drive me crazy, babe. You know what? I would generally not go to this because I don't like the general public. But one of my buddies wanted to go. My friend Pat Nagel at the Allstate's like, Come on, we got tickets for you. So,
all right.
Julie, you want to go?
Well, I would, except I'm in Florida.
Okay.
Oh, see, she's in a better place.
Yeah, you are.
I'm in the free state, yeah.
Nice.
So speaking of freedoms, Trump's, are they closing in on him? I mean, yesterday, the way that the DOJ fought back to leak everything that they wanted to the media was this court filing. So how is President Trump going to fight back today?
So there's a court hearing today at 1 o'clock in Florida where Judge Aileen Cannon will decide whether she wants to appoint a special master. This is Trump's request, a special master to go through all of the stolen documents that the FBI took from Mar-a-Lago on August 8th. The government is fighting this tooth and nail, as you can imagine. And that photo of the scattered pictures on the ground at Mar-a-Lago, which, as you said, that these cover sheets, you know, top secret, blah, blah, blah. That was part of the government's 36-page motion asking the judge not to appoint a special master. And so they're also hiding, trying to conceal these documents under the ruse of a national security assessment. So I explain all of that in my latest column at American Greatness. So we'll see what the judge, Aileen Cannon, a Trump appointee, decides today. I assume if she appoints a special master, DOJ is going to come back and appeal that. They really do not want a third party to look at this material because, of course, it's gone from nuclear codes to secrets, you know, classified documents. Now it's just a violation of the Presidential Records Act. Absurdity.
Well, they're claiming, though, that he moved documents, you know, that from when they were there on June 3rd to when they came back, that there were three, quote, classified documents discovered loose in desk drawers in Trump's office.
Well, I'll tell you this, Amy, and you know this as much as I do. I've covered January 6th, all of DOJ's machinations since, especially under the Biden regime, January 20th of 2021. This DOJ is so dishonest, so deceptive. They've lied repeatedly to a grand jury. They've lied to judges. They've lied to defense attorneys. I've watched this happen. And the judges do nothing to rein them in. So I don't trust a single word that is coming out of Merrick Garland, at least Monaco's Justice Department, and neither should anyone listening. I'm sure that they don't. So the story is changing. But look, if the DOJ really wants to prove to the American people that this raid was legitimate, that these documents pose some sort of threat, that Donald Trump should not have had them, then why would they not support a special master, a third party with security clearance, looking through this, deciding what material is really classified, any that pose a national security threat, even though they've been at Mar-a-Lago now for 20 months, that would be the best way to instill confidence. Instead, they are conducting all these tricks in court and in the media to make sure that the American people see nothing of the facts. And you just have to go back to that heavily redacted affidavit as well to see how far they will go to make sure we don't get the truth.
Seems like there's a high-level chess game being played between the DOJ and the Trump organization. And you know, basically people on the right are Republicans in general. Let me ask you, is there, to me, it's dubious the timing of this this Tim Tebow, this FBI agent that kind of squashed the Hunter Biden laptop. He didn't kind of do it. He did. He squashed the story. Facebook tamped it down. It definitely, I would have to say, had a, you know, they were implicit in in tampering with the 2020 election. Do you think that this is in this raid, they knew this news was coming? Maybe this would take that out of the spotlight?
Possibly. But look, I feel very strongly, confidently, that this DOJ will indict Donald Trump. I think it will be related to January 6th, not necessarily these documents. But this is part of creating the optics, convincing the public that this is a legitimate criminal investigation. But I do believe that they'll indict him on either obstruction of an official proceeding, the most common felony charged against January 6th protesters, conspiracy, possibly tampering with witnesses or evidence, which Liz Cheney has suggested during the select committee performances. So that's where this is heading. Look, this grand jury in Washington, D.C., people have to understand all of this is happening out of Washington, D.C. The grand juries are made up of people living in a city that gave Donald Trump 5% of the vote in 2020, 4% of the vote in 2016. They view Donald Trump as a mortal enemy. They view the events of January 6th as a personal attack on them. These grand juries will indict anything that the government puts in front of them. And then if he is the regular juries, now every single January 6th defendant has been found guilty on every single count in record time. This is a legal and judicial system that January 6th protesters, Trump associates like Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro, and Donald Trump himself will face off. So these prosecutors can put anything before this grand jury, and they're going to indict on anything that they put in front of them. So this is where this is headed. This is part of the optical, the theater by this highly malicious partisan DOJ to create this illusion that there's a legitimate criminal offenses against Donald Trump.
So they're going to get him on January 6th, not on the raid on his home, is what you're saying.
I believe so. I mean,
well, but
I,
what?
All this uniting that that we heard about, you know, when that other guy, you know, took office, we were going to unite, man. I tell you, they better be careful about what they're doing here because, you know, unless you can totally get out there and tamper with elections, there's going to be, and I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, to watch this happen to people is just wrong. And
we had Rob Blagojevich, former governor, on yesterday, and he called it the FB lie. And he said, I know exactly what Trump's going through. He even said he was at Mar-a-Lago with Trump last February. And he warned him. He said, they're watching. You better have all your ducks in a row. You better be very careful because they are still watching you. They're going to try and take you down. And it was a prophetic statement because he was right.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know, we're at a dangerous place in this country if this happens. You know, if they do that, they better go after Hillary Clinton. That's all I can say.
Well, they call it the Clinton standard. Yeah. So if she wasn't prosecuted for her handling of classified information, then neither should President Trump. Yeah. But what Julie Kelly is saying is they're not going to get him on this. They're going to get him on January 6th.
They are. I strongly believe that they will charge him with obstruction of an official proceeding. This is the Andrew Weissman felony. This was the second half of the Mueller report that they wanted to push the DOJ to indict Trump on. They didn't. But more than 250 January 6th protesters faced this felony obstruction count. And some are going to jail for years after they've been convicted or pleaded guilty. Also conspiracy, and this will be related to the bigger cases, the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys. The Oath Keepers trial starts at the end of this month. They are going to attempt to tie Donald Trump to those two groups for the quote-unquote attack on the Capitol, which, of course, was perpetuated by the government, as I explained in my book. So this is where this headed, but to both of what you're saying, this is very dangerous territory to criminally indict Donald Trump, former president and potential rival to Joe Biden, but also the rhetoric coming out of this White House. For Joe Biden to accuse us of being fascists, for his press secretary yesterday to stand up and basically call all of us a threat to the country, and now he's giving a speech tonight on the soul of the nation, these people are really unhinged, and they are pushing this country into very dangerous territory. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, this prime time speech from President Biden. He's going back to Philadelphia, I think, in front of the Liberty Bell, correct? I mean, this is a multi-million dollar in-kind donation to the DNC from ABC, CBS, NBC. I mean, it is ridiculous. What is this? What in the world is anybody, what is he going to discuss tonight for the soul of our nation?
Well, he's going to say that the soul of the nation can only be restored if the 75 million people who voted for Donald Trump somehow repent, that hundreds of them, maybe thousands, end up in jail, which is happening with the January Sixers, and that we are that our dissent against the Biden regime is somehow criminal and will keep us away from the polls, prevent us from engaging in political activity, prevent us from donating to Republican candidates. This is the whole ruse of January 6th, and he's going to try to put the cherry on top of it. But look, this can really backfire in a number of ways, and it would be nice if there's a single Democrat to stand up or anyone in the media and say, this is wrong. This rhetoric is destroying our country. It's not just dividing it, it's destroying it. And this regime and these Democrats and these prosecutors and DOJ are putting the country on a dangerous path. Someone needs to stop it, but they won't, because they want the entire MAGA movement completely eradicated in one way or the other. And look, it's not an exaggeration. You're hearing it now from Joe Biden himself.
Yeah, and before we let you go, I wanted to talk about your January 6th book that you wrote, because yesterday another Capitol rioter was sentenced to more than 4 years in prison. These sentences are very extreme. And also, are there still some that were there on January 6th that have been denied bail?
Yes. There's over 120 over the course of 20 months who have been denied bail. Now I think there's about 95 who are languishing in pretrial detention. Amy, some of these men will be in jail, denied bail, denied release for almost 2 years before they have a chance to go to trial. They haven't been convicted. They aren't even accused of violent crime. This is conspiracy or obstruction charges. And to your point, these sentences are outrageous. You have people being sentenced to 4 to 5 years in prison on a nonviolent obstruction count.
Child molesters, sorry for like rapists and child molesters have lighter sentences than that.
They're seeking domestic terror enhancements, which raises, and we've had a few people commit suicide. A man named Matthew Perna, when he found out that they were going to add years to his sentence after he pleaded guilty to obstruction and misdemeanors, hanged himself in his garage in February because he could not face the prospect of being in jail for 4 years on a nonviolent obstruction when he did nothing wrong. This is what is sickening about this DOJ, and that's why when I say they don't play by the rules, they want us all punished. They could throw all of us in jail, they would, but they are seeking years in prison for people who really did nothing wrong, walked into open doors with Capitol Police standing right there, but nonetheless have destroyed these people's lives, and in some cases ended them.
You cannot breach the Columbus doors at the Capitol. You can't. They need to be open. They're 20 tons. They're magnetically sealed. They had to be open. And if the world thinks that January 6th was something, you know, I understand that some people were injured. It wasn't a good thing to see.
No, I didn't. But, fun to watch.
But,
I did not like it.
But that is nothing compared to what I think this country's ready for. And I hate to sound like that.
Well, you know, I know that a lot of people think what they thought they saw on January 6th was an organic uprising instigated by Donald Trump. I explain in my book how that's not the case. And I ask people to reconsider what they thought they saw on January 6th and now seeing what this regime, this ruling class, this vengeful beltway establishment apparatus is capable of doing to take down Trump and his supporters. There are still a lot of unanswered questions about that day. Where's the 14,000 hours of surveillance video? How many FBI undercover agents and informants like they did in the Whitmer Fednapping case were involved in January 6th? Where's the pipe bomber? That's completely disappeared from the headlines. So there are a lot of unanswered questions, and I ask people to take a look at my book and reconsider what they thought they saw that day, because what you saw was not the truth.
All right. Julie Kelly, we're going to have to leave it there for today. Senior contributor for American Greatness and author of January 6th, How Democrats Use the Capitol Protest to Launch a War on Terror Against the Political Right. Julie, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Have fun at that concert, right?
Okay. Yeah. And she joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
If you're talking about it, Dan and Amy are talking about it. It's Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Here you go. Thank you, Mike Scott, recommended this. Because we're already in September.
You want to?
How did that happen? Today's September 1st, dear Lord.
Okay, hold on a second. Wait, hold on.
Turn up.
Just play it. Nothing we're going to do is better than this song.
You can sing. Come on, can't you sing?
Me?
Yeah.
No, not this. I only sing White X.
Excuse me? What is this White X you speak of? What's that?
Maria, City. All right, I'm going to tell you something here. This might be this might be something you don't know.
Yeah.
So Maurice White from the band was
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, Earth, Wind, and Fire. Yes. Maurice,
that would be the band.
He's writing a song, and he's got this young co-writer working with him, and she's like, "Well, I don't understand what body I mean. What the hell does body I mean?" And Maurice goes, "Don't ever disrupt the groove. It flows. Don't question it."
Really. Body, what are they saying? Body. I don't even know.
No, it doesn't mean anything. It's just cool. Don't question it. I just told you not to question it. You question.
And I just questioned it. All right. That voice belongs to Ray Stevens. They don't call you Ramblin' Ray anymore.
I still do. Yeah, Ramblin'.
Okay.
Call me Ramblin'.
How'd you get Ramblin' Ray again? That moniker?
It was stupid when I was really young in my career. they would just say, you know, because I was like the man on the street. So it's like, hey, he's a Ramblin' guy. And it's
okay.
And I know now that you just go by one name. Most people go by one name. Like if you listen,
you just go by Ray.
Yeah, you know it's Buffy. Cool. It's the Buffy and Skip morning show over on pop radio, and so it's just Ramblin'.
Whatever happened to Bubba the Love Sponge?
I think he got his ass kicked by Hulk Hogan, right?
Oh,
he got
Bubba
sued.
Bubba
he got
the
sued.
Love Sponge did.
Hulk sued him pretty good. Yeah, yeah. Bubba got in some trouble.
Okay. Yeah. Was he in Florida,
right?
He was
out of Florida, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And MJ in the Morning, remember those guys?
Oh, yeah.
Because I spent my maternity leave because my in-laws lived in Tampa. I would just, because I had babies in the wintertime, I'm like, I'm out of here.
Is that what you
so,
do?
Oh, yeah, I would just say it. And then I'd listen to MJ in the Morning and just, you know, it was fun. It's counting how many couches people would leave on exit ramps in Florida. They just dropped their furniture in random places in Florida, if you've never noticed.
People ask me all the time, they're like, "What would you ever go back and do country radio?" And I'm like, no.
Why?
Oh, it's horrible. Have you heard it lately?
Country?
Yeah. There's this new song. You should really listen to it. It's called Stay in the Truck by a guy named Hardy. One name, Hardy, and Lainey Wilson, who's awesome. And the premise of the song is this guy's driving through a backwoods town one night, and he comes across this girl who's been beaten up. And he goes and he finds the guy that did it, and he kills him, but that's okay. The guy had it coming, and it's all right for him to sit in prison because he knows that she's better off with this guy being gone. I'm like, and people think this is like the song of the century. They think this is Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash singing Let's Go to Jackson. I mean, it is just unbelievable. But that's just a microcosm of how stupid our world has become.
Okay, so what's the name of the song?
Stay in a truck or wait in the truck.
Okay.
And I like both the acts, but it's like together, it's like like the kids say, meh.
Yeah. All right, so are men anymore when women are in barber shops? Yes, that's a premise of one of the articles that our good friend Chadwick Moore tackled in his article, Scissor Sisters, and he joins us now on our turnkey.pro answer line. Good morning, Chadwick. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. So what's your favorite country song? Do you have one?
You're putting me on the spot like that, really.
I know, I'm so rude. Are you not a country guy? Well, you're in New York.
You know, it's nice that country music's going back to where it used to be. There's that period in the early 2000s where it was getting a little too poppy, you know? At least now country is back to the sound it was, like, in the 90s and previous to that. So that's a good thing.
When Taylor Swift was around, right? Didn't she make it poppy? Taylor Swift started out as country singer.
Yeah, she's country and then wind pop. Yeah. Nice lady. Beautiful girl.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. She's really tall, too, isn't she? Yeah. That's all you got?
That's all I got. She sends me a Christmas card every year.
You get a Christmas card
Chadwick,
from Taylor Swift?
Chadwick, I get a Christmas card every year from Taylor Swift. I think that's fantastic. My daughters are jealous.
All right, Chadwick. So you wrote an article about women and barbershops. What's wrong with a woman cutting your hair?
There's nothing wrong with a woman cutting her hair. I will say that first of all. Okay. I have plenty of friends who are female beauticians, who are stylists. They're lovely. They do wonderful jobs. They do great work. My beef was, so I'm a big fan of sex-segregated spaces. I think that, you know, it's been around since the dawn of humankind. And, you know, there's a lot, you know, men infiltrating women's spaces has been in the news a lot lately, and it's creepy and disgusting and weird and sad and also sometimes funny. Of course, like with, you know, men competing in women's sports and then, you know, sadly and grossly men in, you know, female locker rooms and spas and things like that. But you don't hear a lot about women infiltrating male spaces. And it occurred to me that, you know, barbershops are male safe spaces. And I'm talking about, you know, barbershops, not hair salons, dress, you know, things like that. Specifically, the barbershop. And you increasingly, especially where I live in Brooklyn, you see a lot of women who are becoming barbers. And it's violating. I feel violated, honestly. and you know, when there's a female barber in there, it changes the whole dichotomy of the place. When there's, you know, you always feel bad for the guy who has the female barber. You never want the female barber. I'm sorry, ladies, you don't. Now, that's not to say, like I said, if you go to like a beauty salon, whatever. But a barbershop is a male safe space. And it was just irritating me, and I wanted to write about it.
Have you gotten a lot of pushback from it?
Not yet, but I'm expecting it to come. Although maybe not, because I think that I lay out the case very well, how they don't belong there and nobody wants them, that maybe they'll just be quiet about it because maybe I make too much sense. I don't know.
Well, are there some spaces, though, there are other spaces that should be sex-segregated places, such as golf courses, or because certain golf courses still in Illinois are men only.
True. Yeah, why not? You know, if that's what the private golf course wants to do, then more power to them. I mean, what's wrong with male-only spaces never get a lot of credit. I think men need their own spaces. You know, it's nice to have a break away from women and what have you, and men-only clubs and things like that. So why not?
I totally agree. I mean, but we've seen the movie Barbershop and Barbershop 2 and Barbershop 12. They never had a female cutting anybody's hair in the barbershop. The barbershop is where the men went to talk, old men and young men. I mean, sure, you'd have some females come in every once in a while, but the barbershop is a man's club. It's an unspoken written rule.
You know, it's amazing you bring this up, though, because I for years got my hair cut at a barbershop in Winfield, which has now just become a big hospital, called the Sportsman's Barbershop. And you go in there in Chadwick, there's dead animals on the wall and fish. I mean, it is the consummate barbershop, and I hope to God it's still there. I haven't been there in a while. But every barber in there was a woman.
Really?
Yeah, and I never thought about that. And it's a great place, and I know in your article, and I agree with this. It's like you can't really be your guy self with your guys if there's a woman in there, and that's supposed to be your safe haven. But yeah, it's called the Sportsman's Barbershop. I hope it's still there because, you know, the barbershops are kind of going away. I want to go somewhere where I can see dead things on the wall. It makes me feel better as a human.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. And it's sad to see this encroachment. And we're all just – now, I do make some exceptions. Like,
okay.
Women, you know, can come into the barbershop. The best thing is when a mom brings her son in. That's lovely because, you know, she's introducing him to this male-only safe space. And then there is a certain type of woman who maybe works the desk or whatever. And, like, sometimes you see this a lot of barbershops I've been in New York. And, like, they probably grew up with a lot of brothers and like, they get it. They're kind of one of the guys. They're not trying to force themselves into it. And they, you know, they seamlessly fit into the space, but you get this new class of hipster barber who comes in and she like thinks she's completely aloof to the fact that nobody actually wants her there and nobody wants her cutting her hair. And she's changing the entire dynamic of the place. We need to make male safe spaces great again, to be honest.
Can we put that on a hat? Male safe spaces, and the acronym would be SMOT.
Yeah, Chadwick.
Male safe spaces. Now, great again.
Do you have a
Muskaga?
Do you have a safe space? You know, like here for me, I have a serious man cave.
And is that your garage or a basement?
No, this is a pole barn that I have up in Wisconsin. That's just full of my motorcycles and snowmobiles. And
it's real clean.
It is.
I love cleanliness. I mean, cleanliness is next to godliness, especially for the Swedes. We clean the clean.
It's crazy clean. And my girl is so cool with me having it. She's got this little side hustle. It's called Shop Sustainable Grace, where she does a lot of women empowerment stuff. But she made a male candle for me called Man Cave.
Oh.
And she's like, I don't know what it smells like in there, but this will make it smell nicer. So she respects that. Like. You know, but I think that's, you know, hey, I think you bring up a good point. We need to respect each other's space. It's
but,
okay.
So, but you know what, though? But we, now that I'm thinking about it, where do we go where it's always just women? Was to get our nails done.
Yeah.
Or, you know, the mani-pedi.
And your nails are on point, man.
I got to tell you, these are real.
Are they really?
Those are real, yep.
Would it be weird if I asked you to scratch my
nature.
Back?
Oh, I could. This, my nails are stronger because of balance of nature. I'm not kidding you.
Sorry, but, Chadwick, it yeah. just got weird.
I know. But our safe space was always the, you know, the where you'd get your manicure, pedicure, the nail salon.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you guys have, you people, and now your soft hands and, you know, you can't do your own toenails. That's what one guy told me. I said, what are you, you know, I'll never forget. It was years ago. I said, what are you doing here? And he said, I just want to. He goes, you know, it feels good, and I don't want to cut my own toenails. Yeah. Well, cut your own toenails, because we don't want to see your hairy feet in here.
You don't cut them. You peel them. Come on.
Oh. That is so
Well,
disgusting.
That's something I didn't think about. How does it feel if you're in the nail salon and the guy's in there getting a pedicure? Does it kind of, like, change the vibe of the whole place?
Yeah. We don't discuss things that we would discuss around other men. We
there
just don't. So, you know what? Maybe I should write a counter article. And call it
should.
Nails Places, yeah. Hairy Toes. Oh, you know what? I'm going to title it Hairy Toes.
That's your drag bingo name, Hairy Toes.
So, Chadwick Moore, how are you? What are you working on next?
I'm working on a couple books right now. You can expect I have a book coming out September 27th about diversity and inclusion training in the workplace. So you can find that later this month, not September, where I talk to people from all across the economy, from people work on oil rigs to lawyers and HR directors about their experiences with DEI training in the workplace. And it's funny and entertaining. It's equal parts, I think, ridiculous and horrifying what goes on in the workplace with DEI training. So you can find that later this month.
So inclusion's cool, just not in my damn barbershop.
Right.
All right, Chadwick Moore, have a wonderful 3-day weekend, even though it is still Thursday, but it feels like a Friday. Chadwick Moore, editor-in-chief at Outspoken and contributing editor at Spectator World. Always a pleasure having you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Great to talk to you.
Okay, and he joined us on our turnkey.pro answer line.
This is The Morning Show. More Chicago radio listeners are choosing. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.